In July 2020, as America reeled from lockdowns and riots, the CDC quietly published a detailed operational plan for nationwide quarantine facilities targeting those deemed high risk, titled Interim Operational Considerations for Implementing the Shielding Approach to Prevent COVID-19 Infections in Humanitarian Settings. The document outlined forced relocation into isolated, quote, green zones at household, neighborhood, and camp levels. Insider and whistleblowers allege the entire scheme was engineered years earlier as the centerpiece of a Hillary Clinton presidency rollout, a calculated plan to herd the unvaccinated into nationwide concentration-style camps and break them into compliance through isolation, deprivation, and psychological pressure. Essentially, dissenters funneled into concentration camps.
And sadly, so many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Donald Trump, who has no credibility left by any measure. He's only in it for himself. He's now defending himself in civil actions and criminal actions. And when do they break with him? You know, because at some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members, but something needs to happen.
The official document may have surfaced under Trump, but the original intent, according to those connecting the dots, was a far darker permanent medical tyranny ready to be unleashed the moment the right administration took power.
Get vaccinated.
The most important thing you can do to prepare for your holidays is to get your updated COVID vaccine. And if you get it now, you'll be protected in time for winter holiday gatherings.
President Biden has again tested positive for COVID-19 and is back in isolation. Just last week, the president tested positive for the virus. He experienced mild symptoms and was treated with Paxlovid.
As the unelected Bill Gates and his bloated private influence and high-level government briefings steered the policy.
The presence of social media plus a pandemic is a combination that's never been tried before. And, you know, nobody would have predicted that I and Dr. Fauci would be so prominent in, you know, really kind of evil theories about, you know, did we create the pandemic? Are we trying to profit from it? And on and on. And so, you know, I'm very surprised by that. I hope it goes away. I hope it doesn't hold back, you know, mask wearing or seeking out vaccines.
Despite claims it was a humanitarian project, the language mapped a scalable system of containment with zero precedent, going far beyond the temporary measures Americans actually endured, revealing an institutional willingness to warehouse American citizens under the banner of public health. The document detailed community buildings with a single entry point for meager food and supplies, zero free movement in or out, 2-meter distancing even from visitors, a complete ban on religious services, dedicated monitors watching every move for, quote, compliance and, quote, stigma, and cold contingency plans to stop the inevitable suicides. Authorities planned for community backlash and potential violence if people resisted after their freedom was sidelined for supposed safety. America was just inches away from permanent medical concentration camps. The original trajectory would have gone from prolonged restrictions to mandatory measures, all while the Mockingbird media cheered it on. The document stands as stark evidence that COVID-era controls were designed to be far more sweeping and enduring than what ultimately materialized, raising enduring questions about the CDC's institutional mindset and the thin line between safety and the mad leap towards totalitarian control. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy.
1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
Welcome to the War Room Live Thursday. Filling in for Harrison Smith, Rex Jones here. War Room Live, share live links, live feeds. Your friends, family, coworkers, everybody needs to know what you know about the world. Now, I've been hosting for like the past 3-4 weeks, and it's been really fun, but we've talked a lot of politics and war, specifically overseas. And I've had Michael Yon on, I've had a number of Special Forces guys on, I've had Joe Kinn on, you name it. Everybody has said the same thing about the conflict. It's going to expand if we don't get out of there, and it doesn't look like we are going to get out of there. So all of that, setting that aside for a moment, we will get back into that in the third hour. I want to talk about domestic American politics and really the world, what's going on right now. I want to talk about the new mRNA flu shot that they've got going around, which apparently has some sort of astronomically high injury or, you know, some, I don't want to use a term and get sued, some sort of bad correlation in statistics that we're going to look at today in various articles. We've also got the new CDC appointee, a woman who says that mRNA is both safe and effective, kind of in line with the father of the vaccine and the creator of Operation Warp Speed, Donald Trump. We've heard over the years from people, even on this network, like Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of said technology, who's listed its dangers, its problems, and ultimately the thing you have to remember and the thing you have to know about the COVID shot and about the mRNA technology in general. And crew, if you can look this up, this would be great. They changed the definition of the word vaccine. They changed the definition. Prior, I forget the exact term, but you know, it was something that prevented you from actually getting a disease and attenuating it in a specific way. This is, you know, they're playing God with your genetics. They're turning you into a self-replicating nanofactory to make the spike protein. And yes, you must be protected at all times for something that is essentially a bad cold, a bad flu, in like the worst cases, right? You must be protected at all times for something. You must be like Bubble Boy. You must be in your bubble with your 12 vaccinations a year. Now, I say that as a joke. I think it's a lot more. How many shots are you supposed to get a year? Can we pull this up as well, crew? How many shots are we supposed to get a year? Because I think it was like 72 for the baby, right? Like your baby has to be protected by getting, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of vaccinations. And now they won't even be traditional vaccinations that have the heavy metal and aluminum and mercury in them, right? Or the SB40. We don't have to worry about that. Soon we'll just, you know, the kids will be biological androids, pretty much. We'll be injecting self-replicating mRNA technology into two-year-olds and saying that it's liberal and good. Just because Trump did it? I don't think so. And that's why I think it's very serious to hold into account how we used to be treated on the whole COVID issue, how they treated it as something to beat us over the head with, the humiliation ritual under Biden. You know, this is a very dark time in the country that I want to revisit today, but it's important to realize we are close to having this again. And you can say, oh, well, I don't think Americans would fall for it this time. Oh, I think Americans are tired of being lied to. Oh, I think Americans don't trust the system. They could do another rollout, another virus very, very easily. And they lied about it the first time and they got away with it for like half a decade. And the people that did it are never going to get charged. I want to go ahead and show clip number one. Colbert, this is summer of 2020, summer of 2021, his flip-flop on vaccines and big pharma. And then we're going to show clip number two.
Some folks are skeptical. Thankfully, big pharma has come up with a way to reassure the public about their motives. And it's all in their new ad.
Are you worried about the future? unable to sleep at night, afraid that pharma companies will put their profits ahead of your health. If you are concerned about the cost of a vaccine, ask your doctor about Vaxilax. Vaxilax is the only medication proven to reduce anxiety about big pharma taking advantage of you in a national crisis. You can trust Vaxilax because of its mascot, Professor Cashington, the ethical money sack.
Side effects of Vaxilax include legless rest syndrome, kidney rhinestones, crumble foot, spontaneous beard sparrows, the galloping hoop sticks, spinal crunch wrapping, Ferdinand's flopsy, big old pink face, Gordon's fisherman syndrome, scrotal iodas, chronic vaccine resistance, facial gram crackering, full-blown coronavirus, and dollar-dollar bills, y'all.
The vaccine.
Look at this. Look how sick this is. Think about old people dying in nursing homes, sent there as vectors of disease, like the rats and the bubonic plague on the ships. And then they poison everyone else, and then everyone died, and Andrew Cuomo lied about it. That's just one example, right? Cuomo lied, grandma died. Remember that whole time period? These people are sick, and they want you to forget that this happened. And here's the thing. People on the right, this is just like the Epstein issue. This is just like the war issue. We were major against this in 2024, and a whole part of Kennedy's platform was supposed to be about, you know, stopping the vaccines and stopping the autism and doing this and doing that. And the problem with everything that has happened and the failures, especially on the pesticide factor, when it comes to the glyphosate, which I'll get into here in a moment, all of these things have just, you know, shaken the trust so deeply that the American people, I mean, Maha, you think about what you really need to win elections. You really need women to win elections, right? They vote more. I think now they have more payroll jobs than men. Like, they're winning right now big time. And a big issue for these suburban moms, white especially, is, like, they're feeding their kids the organic food, making sure there's no pesticide, making sure there's no, environmental contamination or otherwise. And I think this is just kind of universal for everybody, you know, male or female, but especially for women that are mothers. This was a huge, you know, this is a huge step, a building block to building a major coalition that we could have had for decades and decades and decades. And then we get them in there and it's the same old thing. And ultimately, this cedes power to the Democrats when you do this. Dancing around there with people in vaccine outfits. Completely disgusting. Let's go ahead and show this. Dr. Fauci held in contempt of Congress by Rand Paul. That's number three. Go ahead and play it.
Seeing no other motions, the question is on reporting of an original resolution regarding contempt of Congress. The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Johnson.
Yes.
Senator Lankford.
Aye.
Senator Scott.
Yes.
Senator Hawley.
Aye.
Senator Moreno.
On behalf of the millions of people harmed by Anthony Fauci, resoundingly yes.
Senator Ernst.
Aye.
Senator Moody.
Aye.
Senator Peters.
No.
Senator Hassan.
No.
Cuck,
Senator
cuck.
Blumenthal. No. Senator Utah. Fetterman.
Golem.
Senator Kim. Senator Gallego.
General no, Sal. By proxy.
Senator Slotkin.
No, by proxy.
Weak.
Senator Paul.
Yes.
Patriot.
Mr. Chairman, on the vote of those present, the yeas are 8, the nays are 5. On the vote by proxy and for the record only, the yeas are 0, the nays are 2. On this vote, the yeas are 8, the nays are 5, and the motion is agreed to.
Mr. Chairman,
Pack watch on Fauci. So it's going to be very interesting. So keep in mind, because he received the pardon, he's not allowed to plead the fifth. That's the law, right? So he's got to aid the government in their investigation because he's legally protected, right? It shows that what he did was so despicable and evil by lying about funding gain of function research, specifically Eco Health Alliance. You can read the emails for yourself. This guy is on a tier of Hitler, on the tier of Stalin, on the tier of Mao Zedong in his evil. This is somebody that ran experiments on beagles where he inserted, you know, flesh-eating whatever. I know we got people at home that don't want to hear the disgusting stuff. This guy's a pure demon. And he said in his journal, he liked how powerful he felt. Oh, she noticed me because I'm Dr. Fauci. You know, I threw the first pitch at the Washington Orioles game. Just what a disgusting human being. What a disgusting person. And he sat there in Congress. And why I say he's disgusting, here's the thing. I'm not attacking somebody personally. I'm attacking the entity that he represents. He's a killer, all right? Because we can talk about COVID
And that did kill people. But talk about the vaccine and the people that have, quote unquote, died suddenly every single year in mass. The insurance company actuaries show it very clearly. That is what, in my opinion, he is directly responsible for. He knows it. He either doesn't care or he's rationalized it as he's a God figure and he can do whatever he wants, which is sick. And you know why he gets away with it? Because we have other people in power that have that same narcissism, that same God complex, rock star syndrome, whatever you want to call it, that do the same thing. The same thing is endemic in Trump as well. So it's just truly disgusting. And we really can't say enough bad things about Dr. Fauci. He really is a killer. You know, he killed the gay people with the AIDS. He gave them insane cancer drugs and stuff like that. Remdesivir, you can read about that in the book that RFK wrote, which is excellent, an excellent audiobook as well. They do it really well. They have a very serious narrator. Really makes you understand how dramatic his crimes are. You can hear about it there, his crimes in the 90s. You can hear about the protests against him, him being named. The Dallas Buyers Club is about Fauci. The Dallas Buyers Club is about Anthony Fauci, and they changed the story because Matthew McConaughey didn't want to be the gay dude with AIDS or whatever. But it's the same story. It's real life. It's a true story. Literally, he's a supervillain. He is a blockbuster movie supervillain, like the bad guy in Heat or something. Heat or not, that's too cool. He's a monster. Dr. Fauci, you are killing us. He's been killing for a long time. It's what I do well. I'm Dr. Fauci. And you know what? Maybe he'll be held in contempt. I think he is going to be held in contempt based off that vote. I think that's what is confirmed. But will anything happen to him? Because if they call his pardon into question at all, the fear is on the Republican side, and this is why I'm not supporting the GOP, is that, oh, well, if we hold people to account and do what the voters told us to do, then because of our crimes and our insider trading and our stock market betting and our wars and whatnot, there's too many crimes to list when it comes to it. But how about, you know, the $3.2 billion in defense-related contracts that the Trump family has gotten? Right. That would be a little bit suspect, right? What about Trump enriching himself with billions and billions of dollars? What about it? Right. It doesn't really matter when you think about all the people that have been killed. Right. So just let it go. It's just a little bit of money. Right. And that's the deal that they make. That's the deal that they make with each other. You kill a bunch of people. I steal a bunch of money and also kill a bunch of people in an illegal war. And we're not going to prosecute each other. And it's a question of whatever side violates that, like wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like handshake, good old boy type agreement, that is going to be the side that ultimately implements the radical agenda in America. And I think that's where we are. I think that's the future. Like it or not, I'm just trying to predict, you know, future events. Let's go ahead and break this down because I said I was going to do it at the start of the hour. Overhead shot, please. FDA approves first mRNA flu shot from Moderna. The vaccine, Mifluzia, oh, it's got a liberal name, Mifluzia, was approved for older adults and trials. It was found to be about 27% more effective than the standard flu shot, which is like 10% effective. It doesn't even work. They have to guess on it and put like three strains of the flu, and there's like 100 each season. Like, good grief, people. You're going to go get a shot in your arm for the flu? Oh, the flu kills millions of people. You don't understand how serious it is. Okay. Okay, well, are you a part of the risk group? Are you like a overweight 78-year-old woman or something? Oh, well, no, I'm 33, but I get every vaccine the government tells me to do because I'm a liberal. And you're like, well, that's not very scientific now, is it? It doesn't really make sense for you to take something that's going to protect you, quote unquote, from something that could theoretically, like basically 99.999% not hurt you, kill you, right? You're going to make this giant sacrifice and you're not even going to use a traditional vaccine. You're going to use self-replicating mRNA technology. You're going to gene edit yourself. You're going to CRISPR edit yourself like it's Cyberpunk 2077 just because the government says it's cool. And you say, oh, what do you know? All the scientists say it's great. Oh, yeah. Scientists say it's cool. What else did scientists say was cool? Scientists said you were going to die from COVID. Scientists said you couldn't leave your house. Scientists said you were going to kill grandma. Why should you believe anything they have to say, especially when it comes with the added interest of, oh, these aren't just the liberal healthcare. Oh, we love to help you, like, take your temperature, make sure you're doing all right. It's about the money. This is one of, if not the biggest industry in the United States. This is why we are all sick. This is why we are all fat. This is why we are all retarded, is so that big pharma and the medical industrial complex can take advantage of us. Okay, this is very simple. This is just the reality of being an American. It's just like our military, where we pay the absolute most for the most mediocre product. And that's the reality. And everyone that wants to say, oh, it's liberal for us to help you live your life, it's liberal for us to watch you, control you, they don't prevent deaths, they cause them. Okay, they cause the deaths. That's what they do. And that's the goal of the vaccine, in my opinion. That's what Dr., quote-unquote, Anthony Fauci was trying to do when he wasn't trying to assassinate beagles. The FDA approved on Wednesday the U.S.'s first flu shot that uses mRNA technology from the drug maker Moderna. The FBI granted approval for two age groups, adults 50 to 65 and adults 65 and up, on the condition that Moderna run an additional clinical trial in the older group. The company said in a release, in a late-stage trial, was found to be about 20% more effective than the standard flu shot. Many scientists and public health experts have touted the idea of mRNA-based flu vaccine. You're like, literally, they're cattle, and they make money off you because they make the government buy the vaccine. And then they, like, resell it again to the distributor. And it's just a giant scam. It's a giant, complete, and total scam. And I wish we had real vaccines that were good, but everything these people make is poison designed to kill us. You know, all the good drugs are generic, by the way, because they can't make money off of things like ivermectin, right? 1776RX.health, by the way. Ivermectin, fenbendazole. I'll keep reading this. Many scientists and public health experts have touted the idea of the mRNA flu vaccine, which uses the same messenger RNA platform as the COVID vaccines from Moderna and Pfizer. That's because it can be manufactured much faster than traditional vaccines, because it's not a vaccine. They changed the definition of the word. If we can pull that up, crew, if y'all were looking for that earlier, please look for it again. Moderna says it takes 2 to 3 months from picking the strain to rolling out its flu shot, compared with about 6 months for traditional flu shots. If you're choosing the strain half a year before, how good can we be at sharpshooting? We need to inject the mRNA, said Dr. Ofer Levy, Brazilian, maybe, director of the Precision Vaccines Program at Boston Children's Hospital. The flu puts hundreds of thousands of people in the hospital every year, and there can be tens of thousands of deaths. Young children, older adults, are more likely to get very sick from the flu. Traditional flu shot ranges in effectiveness from 22 to 56%. Right. And it's got all the additives in it. It's got everything that we've ever talked about, like the aluminum, the mercury, and it's just ineffective in general. They want everyone to take this and basically be mandated to take it. And this is the crossroads that we were at with COVID. And I want to talk about that for a second. I want to talk about Joe Biden. I want to talk about Kamala as well. The idea, I thought about this a lot, because here's the thing. Everyone asks you to have a concrete position all the time. I'm making up my mind about a lot of these things. If you think about Biden specifically, mandating under OSHA that 80 million federal employees would take the vaccine. You think about something like that. And the Supreme Court struck it down because it's unconstitutional. It's legal. You can't do that to people. But think about the forced coercion of tens of millions of Americans that thought that they were going to lose their job because this was implemented, or it was about to be implemented. Think about that. The robbery of informed consent from the population, because Big Brother, the government, the bureaucracy, the government, the companies, corporate capture, they know better than you. They run your life. You will do what they say. And to be fair, with Trump coming back in, he hasn't tried to do anything like that. So I think that's one of the rare positives in my view. That being said, the idea of this stuff slowly creeping up all around us and coming right back is that's what we face. And I think that's the biggest hazard in any coming, Democrat administration, is that they might even be willing to say on TV, oh, it's too extreme. We don't know what happened. Oh, maybe Fauci was bad. Oh, they will do that a little bit. That'll be fine. They'll cap that way. But I would be very concerned about future pandemics and, you know, mysteriously to their benefit, they emerge and then they take over. I think that's really scary. I think that might be a reality in the future if we don't stop them and have a populist movement to save the country. Well, let's go ahead and go to clip number 5 on this mRNA flu shot.
The Food and Drug Administration yesterday approved the country's first flu shot that uses mRNA technology. It is called Influziva, and it's from drug maker Moderna. The FDA granted approval for two age groups, adults 50 to 65 and 65 and older. In a late stage trial, Influziva was found to be about 27% more effective than a standard flu shot. Moderna said Influziva will be available for this fall's flu season.
All right, now clip 10. This is the lady that's been appointed the new head of the CDC, I believe, and she thinks that mRNA is safe and effective. It's why she got the job. She also wore a giant Star of David necklace, and that definitely helps you get confirmed. So go ahead and show clip number 10.
I do believe that mRNA...
You're all welcome over afterwards, yeah.
I do believe that mRNA technology is safe and effective.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Dude, we're getting everything we voted for. Isn't it so cool? It's based, right? And you literally, I can't criticize this, you know, because I was ignorant. I didn't even, you know, consider the vaccine issue, even knowing inside that he was the father of the vaccine. You know, we did some of the best work out of any network on the COVID time period. InfoWars was under such insane attack at that time, and literally the best guests, the best coverage, wall to wall, 24/7, woke so many people up about what was happening there. I don't get how Trump comes back and literally it's just like, oh yeah, well, I know what my base wants, whatever I like, whatever I need them to want, whatever I want, whatever I need them to like. And, you know, just we let everything go. I was going to talk about this earlier. I got like 2 minutes, 30 seconds, and I can get it done in that time period. RFK Jr. said that we have to keep the glyphosate as a quote unquote, it's a matter of national security. He said we have to keep it. Even though he won a lawsuit against Monsanto proving that it caused non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And if it's carcinogenic in that way, it's carcinogenic in all other ways because it's a carcinogen period, right? It's something that hurts your DNA and your cells would cause cancer. He wins that lawsuit, $270 million, right? For the client or whatever. And, we can't get rid of the 50 flavors of chips at the gas station, even though they're killing all the kids. And killing all the middle-aged people and just everybody who goes in the gas station. Oh, we can't tell those restaurants and those companies to stop selling that bread, even though we know it's giving people, theoretically, this is my hypothetical, we know it's giving people, you know, cancer and diabetes and strokes, and we know all the additives in here are poison, and we allow companies to do it just so that they can make a little bit of extra money. We can't completely overhaul the food system. That's not what people voted for. People voted for on paper, tic-tac, paddywhack, give a dog a bone, fake policy and fake programs and buzzwords. Ah, we're getting the poison out of your food, but we're leaving 270 million pounds of glyphosate, of Roundup on your fields every year, right? Isn't that cool? Isn't that liberal? Do you enjoy that? And they say, oh, no. It's only used on 3% of the wheat. And it's like, oh, yeah? Well, it's used on one-third of all the fields. And they're using 270 million pounds of it. Okay? So I guess that's just something, just another thing we write off. We're not getting poisoned. It's not a problem. The Roundup is healthy. The glyphosate is healthy. It's not a problem to go to war and do genocide. Not a problem at all. It's not a problem to bankrupt the country and spend way more money than we have and crash the world economy. You know, because I guess we can just get away with it forever, right? I don't think Americans accept that anymore, and I think it's time for everybody to wake up. You need to remember the values that we voted for in 2024, and that's what we're loyal to ultimately in God and Jesus Christ. And thank you so much for watching the program. We'll be right back. I want you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. That's your mission, should you choose to accept it. We got everything there for you to support the info war at thealexjonesstore.com. Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We'll send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, power plant, and methyl drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Rosea, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone. Raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks. And ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. People just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically, that power plant formula If you're looking for something like Supermeal Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle, along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. We've got the T3 Trifecta Iodine, absolute staple of the old network. We've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the Bovine Beef Tallow. It's got the Methylene Blue inside the tallow. Incredible antioxidant, Methylene Blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the Zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit Complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things, theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top-rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the Ultimate Power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins, memorabilia that we have. Literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta. Welcome back to the War Room Live. I want to take a segment here. I want to talk about Tucker Carlson and the big news that was going around last night of the speculative third party, right? Or, you know, a run inside of the Republican Party a la 2016 Donald Trump. It's going to be very interesting. I haven't really reviewed the 10-point plan besides the first time I saw it. Follow me, Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. That is your mission should you choose to accept it. I'll go ahead and read this overhead shot, please. Tucker used a highly promoted live stream Wednesday to unveil a 10-point vision for America, defining the worldview of a breakaway MAGA faction increasingly at odds with President Trump. Why it matters, after vowing last month to help build the third party, Carlson fueled further speculation this weekend by hosting MAGA dissidents, I guess that's their term, at Axios, CIA, C-I-A, smiley face, liberal. This weekend by hosting MAGA dissidents at his home in Maine, where they urged him to run for president in 2028. The former Fox News host stopped short of a formal launch, instead presenting the manifesto as the foundation for whatever comes next, a new political order he said could find all kinds of expressions. Zoom in. Carlson said any successor to America's faltering political system should begin with a shared understanding of what the country should be, which he distilled into 10 points. Number one, fair. The same rules should apply to presidents, federal agents, and elites such as Jeffrey Epstein, whose impunity Carlson casts is emblematic of Epstein class enriching itself through a corrupt system. This is going to be a key term that you're going to hear a lot of in 2028, less so in 2026. We're already hearing it now. This is what the basically the entire election is going to be about. Now, I think even the GOP establishment will realize that about halfway through the primary when they get that dark horse candidate that they're not expecting, just like a 2016 Trump. Back in 2016, like just very quickly, everyone thought it was going to be Jeb. Like I was a little kid running around in like a newsroom in 2014, 2015 before Trump announced, right? Nobody had Trump on their radar, but there was that vulnerability based off the Iraq war. And this combined situation combined with the Epstein stuff and the violation of trust, I'd say it's about, you know, equivalent, if not worse. Number two, sovereign. Carlson claimed, it's just true, Israel pushed. It's not a claim. CIA claimed Israel pushed the U.S. into the Iran war through bribery or threat or both, while describing foreign lobbying, corporate control of the government, and high interest debt as forms of slavery. Well, corporate control of the government and foreign lobbying, they are slavery 100%. So I guess you're just telling the truth there. Productive, America should rebuild farming, manufacturing, craftsmanship, while rejecting an economy dominated by finance, real estate speculation, surveillance systems, and weapons. Yes, that's true, and I agree with it, but just going, hey, guys, we got to try harder, y'all. Like, that doesn't exactly work. Beautiful. Carlson alleged that urban planners deliberately uglified American cities and portrayed brutalist architecture, a la Soviet Union, graffiti, public drug use, and violent crime as deliberate attacks on the public. I'd agree with that. It's really just about not prosecuting criminals. Okay. It's about not prosecuting criminals. This is very key for people to understand. The reason why everything has fallen apart is because there's predatory class of people, whether they're committing, you know, like violent crime on the street, whether they're a part of the bureaucracy and they're funneling deals to themselves, their loved ones and their businesses and private equity and stuff like that. The corruption is basically universal. And like that, like I talked about in the last segment, the party that is going to be able to take control, the party that's going to win, is the party that violates that bond between criminals, right? That says, okay, we're going to overlook your crimes if you overlook ours. That's the entire nature of the whole Epstein thing, in my opinion. That's the entire nature of the whole Fauci thing. It's you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Don't you want to take that deal? But point number five, healthy. Carlson embraced RFK Jr.'s food agenda, called for universal sobriety, and said widespread use of drugs such as Xanax, Adderall, SSRIs had left Americans half-addled. I mean, we're all, like, effed up. That's the reality. And here's the thing. If you're not calling severely for, you know, not just for saying, oh, like I like RFK's MAHA platform, like, well, congratulations, everyone does, right? But he didn't do it. That's the whole point. There's not enough aggression. There's not enough force. There's not enough drive. There's too much chuckle buddy stuff, good old boy stuff, as we'd say in the South, where everybody just, we're going to make a deal and have a good time. And those deals die and those people get screwed. And that's what always happens. Even the people grifting and making the money, because they're establishing a broken system. And that's what all of this is. There's no getting away from Fauci's crimes. The American people are not going to let you rest on that. Specifically your own side, they're not going to let you rest on that. Right. So I want to hear some more naming of these problems and these things. When we talk about health, I don't want to just hear that what RFK Jr. said was great, because that's like what Trump said was great, too. Right. But look what happened. So point number six, honest government officials should be punished for lying to citizens. I agree. And most classified records, including on the JFK assassination, 9/11 should be open. The reason why they're not open is because we don't control our own government. And like I'm going to play the Fuentes clip where he reacts to this, and I'm going to give further commentary on it, a la Inception. And I agree with a lot of his points. We should have peaches and cream every single day. We should get under a big tree and, you know, have a drum circle and smoke massive amounts of marijuana. Well, if you do that, you don't have a job, you can't pay your rent. Eventually you're going to be on the street, and eventually it's not going to be fun to live like that anymore. Oh no, well, we're not going to listen. We're not going to listen. That's the entire GOP thinking that, you know, this will work. And this is GOP light. Honestly, this does not go hard enough. Sure, you're listing all the things that we want, the things that we need, but not talking about them from an aggressive position kind of gives away the whole game, in my opinion. It's just kind of a wish list. optimistic. Carlson argued that having children is a biological imperative, the foundation of long-term thinking, while blaming aging and childless elites for policies that disregard future generations. Demographic collapse is already here. That's already here. It's baked in at this point. We have to start talking about how are we going to address this at a societal level. So I do think that's important to bring to the forefront. I'm glad more people are talking about it. Point number eight, schools should teach how the physical world actually works. Yeah, Nick Fuentes is laughing about this, but I think this is actually a good point, right? It wouldn't cost an astronomical amount of money to bring civics, bring woodshop, bring engineering, bring, you know, like quality physical education, especially with updated modern science to schools. You know, there are schools in Austin that I see that are well-funded, and they look really, really, really high-tech. And there are schools that I see, and it's like a destroyed crater. And it's really funny. You'll go out into like the middle of nowhere in Texas, and you'll be in like this tiny little town that is just like kind of like population like 2,000, something like that. And they'll have like a giant football stadium. We just spend our money on the wrong things. So I don't think it's crazy to advocate for reform in that aspect, but I want to see a detailed plan. I don't want to just hear we're going to get rid of it and privatize everything, because like that's what the Trump people did, basically. And look how that worked out. Decent. Point number nine. The U.S. should apologize and pay restitution for killing non-combatants, reverse Donald Trump's Department of War rebrand, and stop funding allies that commit what Carlson called genocide. It is genocide. CIA. Axios. Liberal. Isn't that fun? Okay. It is genocide. Let's get that right. So something's going to have to be done. Trump himself agreed to pay restitution, agreed to pay $300 billion as part of the reconstruction fee, the MOU that we later tore up. But we didn't tear up the MOU because of the $300 billion on paper. Of course, that's probably the real reason. We tore up the MOU because of the shipping lane issue, right? Like, that was the whole problem there. So if you look at that and you look at what he's saying here, we're going to pay it anyway. Tucker Carlson's advocating that we pay it forward in a way that's going to heal relationships with other world powers. So I don't think that we can ever allow them to, you know, get one over on us per se. I don't think that we're going to give them much of cash directly, but I think we are going to end up leaving the region. I think that's going to be the payoff. And, you know, that either happens or Iran is destroyed. You know, Israel has nuclear weapons. They have nuclear submarines parked off the coast. That's why I think their goal is to get Iran to resume hostilities, so that once Iran resumes hostilities in earnest, they can launch a false flag or just launch a false flag in general and then have that excuse to launch. I still don't think it'll work. Iran is the size of Western Europe. Israel is the size of New Jersey. But I think that's a relevant possibility to call into question here. And you have to remember, Trump is deadlocked. He can't have this. The SPR is at its lowest level since like before 1982. He's out of critical munitions, long strike or precision guided munitions. He's out of the defense munitions as well. The lying about that is very insane. What they want you to believe about the state of our military is just not true. They want you to think we can fight a forever war. We couldn't fight a 39-day war that we lie about and say isn't a war, but also a war for 47 years. Yeah, it's all just crackhead stuff. It's the same stuff that somebody would tell you on the street that thinks they're Superman. And, you know, that doesn't benefit anybody, especially not when it's the president. And it's like, well, you don't have magical powers. You're a human being. You put on your pants one leg at a time and you're destroying the planet. You're destroying the country. You're effing the recovery up, and nobody likes it. Nobody supports it. And you're not even giving us domestically what we asked for. I want to show you more of these neocons in ascendancy. Let's go ahead and play clip number seven, the Dan Crenshaw clip. If we got that. Okay. I guess it doesn't have audio. That's my bad. My bad. I put the wrong clip in there. Let's go back to the Tucker Carlson discussion, because I said I was going to go to Nick Fuentes there. Let's go to Nick Fuentes' commentary. That will be clip number eight.
And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about Tucker Carlson's huge announcement tonight. Did you catch it? Yes, Tucker baited everybody into watching his show tonight because he basically hinted yesterday at a third-party launch or some kind of presidential run. We all saw the photo yesterday. Tucker Carlson hosted Thomas Massey, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Joe Kent at his family barn in Maine. And him, Greene, Kent, and Massey teased what might have been, could have been the launch of an America First third party, or maybe even a presidential run or some kind of political project. He said he had a big announcement about that tonight, today at 7 o'clock, and he put out the show. And the big announcement was not a third party, wasn't a presidential campaign. It was a 10-point plan to get America back on track. And I don't know if you watched this, but I did. I watched all 1 hour, 40 minutes of this monologue, 1 hour, 40 minutes of this announcement. What a load of garbage. Just a load of hot garbage. And I went into it objective. I went into it thinking I might have to support this, thinking they might leave me with no choice based on what they present. I might have to just get in line and support this as the closest thing to our vision for 2028. So I really went into it objectively and with an open mind, even though I'm clearly biased. I have a personal beef with Tucker and I disagree with him ideologically. Nevertheless, I gave it a shot. I watched the whole thing. And would you like to know what the 10 points are? Well, the 10-point plan is not really a plan at all. They're not even points. It's more like a 10-adjective list. It's not even a list of points. There are no points being made. It's not a political program. It's not a doctrine. It's not a plan. Because there's no information. There are no calls to action, no action items. There's not even really any ideas. The 10-point program, which he teased yesterday, baiting us into watching this slop by pretending he was going to launch a third party, it is quite literally a list of adjectives, specifically big political buzzwords. So what do I mean by this? I sat through an hour, 45 minutes of this. The first point in the 10-point plan, fairness. Fairness is the first point. You want to know another one? Health. Health is another point in the 10-point plan. How about another? Unity. Unity. These are three out of the 10 points in the 10-point program. Health, unity, fairness, honesty, decency, beauty, productivity. I'm not making this up. I'm not making it up. It's not a joke. These are the 10 points in the 10-point plan. And here's what doesn't work. Let me tell you what doesn't work. It doesn't work when you make your entire shtick that you're a plain-spoken, no-nonsense, straight-shooting, folksy, in-the-woods guy like the rest of us. And then your political project is all focus group tested rhetoric. That's what does not work. It doesn't work when you try to rebrand from a snobby, bow tie wearing, libertarian, trust fund, Republican elitist, and then you pretend like you're in the woods fishing and hunting.
Okay, all right, take us out. We don't need the personal attack. I think he makes a lot of good points, and I think the key is aggression, and things are not extreme enough. People haven't woken up enough on the right to realize what people are really like ready for, what they're demanding, and what they're just demanding is what they were promised. Right. And whoever gives them that, whoever gives them accountability on people like Fauci, whoever gives them accountability on things like mass deportations, whoever gives them accountability on the war is ultimately who I think our side, quote unquote, is going to put in power. And you can say, oh, no, this is I watch Andrew Wilson's Rogan episode. His counter argument to kind of what Nick Fuentes is saying. Oh, no, the party system is too entrenched. The infrastructure. Well, no one knew Donald Trump's name. And Donald Trump ran inside the Republican Party, and he took it over. And they literally remade the party in his image. Who's to say the same thing can't happen again? Right, I don't think that's unbelievable or ridiculous at all. And, you know, it is kind of a generational fumble if you don't get super extreme out of the gate. I want to be very specific with how I say this. I'm not talking about being extreme in any sort of, like, stupid, politically violent way. Of course, we always disavow that. Being extreme is in living in reality because the American people are so propagandized and so disillusioned and so in the dark willfully. They don't want to know about politics. The first person to make them care again on a moral and just literal level of, hey, you have stake in this too. You have skin in the game too. It's actually the people in power that don't. They have cop-outs. They have excuses. They've lied. They've committed crimes. And I get that's in Tucker's messaging. But it's really kind of a more hopeful glance at the past and our past beliefs of what we thought Trump could do. There need to be protections from day one in every point of every potential 10-point plan or future platform people want to do to prevent Zionist neocon takeover of our system. First off, just to get it out, period. Look at this from Nick. Tucker will inevitably go all in on supporting JD in 2028 and we'll run cover for him when he's attacked over Palantir, Thiel, Iran, everything else. When he postures up as a fed up MAGA dissident, remember that he will support the PayPal Mafia backed GOP nominee. So here's the thing. I think Marco Rubio and JD Vance are basically unelectable at this point. JD Vance basically took the worst political deal of all time because Trump has essentially used him as the good cop and the good cop that failed. Vance changed his name 3 times. Vance is somebody that was previously a never Trumper, kind of like a Mark Levin, kind of like a Ben Shapiro, kind of like a Lindsey Graham. And then, oh, change your mind because he's a good guy, whatever. I don't think the American people are going to buy that. I don't think that you're going to be able to sell them a superior performance based off of an association and tied to that administration. Valid or invalid as that may be, I don't think America is getting JD. Now, when it comes to Marco Rubio, pull an image of him up, please. There's something odd going on with Marco Rubio because Marco Rubio could save America billions of dollars. Let me tell you how. We have a very expensive system dedicated to detecting alien life. Okay, we're always looking for it. The Fermi paradox, dark forest theory, all that. We're looking for aliens, right? We could get Marco Rubio. We could just replace that entire department of NASA with him, just make him listen at night. And he'd figure all of it out because his ears are large enough to detect alien life. And I think when that's true, I think the American people will probably see he was unelectable. I think Gavin Newsom mogs him, energy mogs him, literally mogs him, every other factor, height mogs him. And I think that's very important. And this guy ultimately is the king neocon, king daddy neocon that ran against Trump, that Trump himself called Little Marco. And you fail in 2016. I think you're going to fail in 2028. I think all of them are going to fail, whether that's JD, Rubio, any kind of establishment Republican that'll run. I predict a very wide field. I predict a field of at least, 6 to 12 people that will run. But Marco Rubio and JD Vance, that will be kind of the faux war, the fake war. That will be, oh, he's a hawk. That's what they'll say. Well, Marco Rubio is a hawk, but he wants to protect our hemisphere and protect our country. And JD is a dove. It'll be the hawk versus dove dichotomy. That's what we'll see. And America will say, well, you're both just birds in a cage, ultimately. You both are agents of the system. You're entrenched in the system. If you really cared about the system, you would do something to prevent this from happening. You say, oh, well, JD was there with the Rachi trying to do a deal, all that. That's because Trump wanted him to do it. And that's what I'm saying about that position. Ultimately, for better or for worse, whatever you want to say, he doesn't have agency, period. And I just think at the end of the day, once you see this administration run its course well into 2027, when we have the election in 2028, I think we're going to be at a point where that association is really going to be toxic. Show that. Rubio leads Vance by 36 points in new 2028 GOP straw poll. Think about that. Where has Rubio been? We've seen Kushner. We've seen Witkoff. They go hang out with Zelensky. They all do, whatever together. We've seen JD, with Arachi. We've seen JD in Greenland and Europe, all these other places. What has Marco Rubio been doing? He's been in South America. He says he's basically been running Venezuela. He's been dealing with affairs in Cuba, Latin hemisphere, stuff like that. I think that's been kind of deliberate on his part. I think he's the smartest political operator in the administration because he realized the toxic association with Trump was going to kill him, and he realized Trump didn't like him because of 2016. So he played into the game of staying away and making sure the American people weren't aware of his activities. It's just Latino Obama versus white Obama, J.D. Vance. That's basically as simple as I can put it. They want to sell you a younger, moderate, cool guy in some aspect that has some sort of like, J.D. Vance is from, isn't he Appalachian? Correct? Can someone in the back room correct me and tell me if he is or if he isn't? But, he's a country boy. He's rural. He's got that experience. Marco Rubio, his family, they're involved with stuff in Cuba. Do some research on that. Now, they're involved in other activities, but they got that kind of association as to where they'll have a way to sell them to a wider audience. And ultimately, who matters in an election? Women and the independent voters. And these are people Trump was able to convince in 2024 to vote for him and support him at least marginally more, especially younger men and younger minority men, black and brown men specifically, turn to Trump because they believe the economy would be better. So you have to sort of build you do have to build a coalition along like ethnic or gender lines during an election, because there are certain issues where people vote more on there, and there are certain populations in certain areas in a state that you might need to win more pivotally. It might be more important to do so. I think it's going to be a hard sell anything on the right where they just violated all their promises. All those people that were willing to give it one shot, one chance. I mean, if you get burned, you want to get burned again? That's the situation they find themselves in. And ultimately, like I say, Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance, hawk and dove type situation. I think you're going to have a dark horse. I think that's who's going to come in here. I think that person is going to win. And I just see Jeb Bush and Jeb Bush squared and Jeb Bush 2.0. And it doesn't bode well, in my opinion, for their chances in 2028. So I hope they accept the makeover of the party. I hope they accept the person that will run inside the party. I hope they get beaten by, you know, a miraculous third party somehow, if that does end up happening. But as of now, my position is I want to see a remix of 2016. I want to see a referendum on the Iran war, not the Iraq war, which is what Trump won on. That's how he destroyed Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush is pulling at like 35%. Pull up the peak of Jeb Bush. The peak of Jeb. There's that meme where the whole country becomes Jeb. Remember that? Yeah, that didn't end up happening now, did it? I think the same thing's going to happen here. No, look, the whole planet voted for Jeb Bush. Talk about voter fraud. This is voter legitimacy right here. Every person across the planet voted for Jeb, except for Greenland, where they don't have data. And you know what? They've been propagandized. They don't understand the dear leader that is Jeb Bush. We really missed out now, didn't we? Think about this as an alternate future. Think about him running and losing against Hillary Clinton. Think about the result of that. Think about the conflict with Russia. Think about all the things that could have happened. Think about Trump's first term. Think about the way that he was treated and now the way that he treats others. And that's where we are. We'll be right back after this break. I do want to tell you guys, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Don't be like Jeb Bush. Don't have low energy. Get yourself some methylene blue. We have it available for you in something called the Power Drive Bundle. That's got two other products that I created, which are Power Plant and Methyl Drive. Amazing products. Think of it like Super Male Vitality 2.0. Think about it like DNA Force 2.0 combined with the Methylene Blue. That's the Power Drive Bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. We have that available. We also have the Methylene Blue available 40% off. Methylene Red, amazing budget mitochondrial health dietary supplement. Power Drive Bundle right there. Like I said, that's the new Super Male Vitality. That's Power Plant. And that's the new DNA Force, that is Methyl Drive. These formulas are incredible. Raise free testosterone, take care of mitochondrial biogenesis, energy support, electron transport chain, and so much more. The Power Drive Bundle, thealexjonesstore.com, Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. I'll see you after this break.
Frog friends gay. This I command.
TheAlexJonesStore.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The Ultra Methylene Red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spread through every vein.
Come on now, bandit! We gotta get this truck on the road!
Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
Let's get a move on!
We've got a long way to go, and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound and run, oh bandit, run! Keep your foot hard on the pedal, some devil mind your brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. And we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down.
We gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
In July 2020, as America reeled from lockdowns and riots, the CDC quietly published a detailed operational plan for nationwide quarantine facilities targeting those deemed high risk, titled Interim Operational Considerations for Implementing the Shielding Approach to Prevent COVID-19 Infections in Humanitarian Settings. The document outlined forced relocation into isolated, quote, green zones at household, neighborhood, and camp levels. Insider and whistleblowers allege the entire scheme was engineered years earlier as the centerpiece of a Hillary Clinton presidency rollout, a calculated plan to herd the unvaccinated into nationwide concentration-style camps and break them into compliance through isolation, deprivation, and psychological pressure. Essentially, dissenters funneled into concentration camps.
And sadly, so many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Donald Trump, who has no credibility left by any measure. He's only in it for himself. He's now defending himself in civil actions and criminal actions. And when do they break with him? You know, because at some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members, but something needs to happen.
The official document may have surfaced under Trump, but the original intent, according to those connecting the dots, was a far darker permanent medical tyranny ready to be unleashed the moment the right administration took power.
Get vaccinated.
The most important thing you can do to prepare for your holidays is to get your updated COVID vaccine. And if you get it now, you'll be protected in time for winter holiday gatherings.
President Biden has again tested positive for COVID-19 and is back in isolation. Just last week, the president tested positive for the virus. He experienced mild symptoms and was treated with Paxlovid.
As the unelected Bill Gates and his bloated private influence and high-level government briefings steered the policy.
The presence of social media plus a pandemic is a combination that's never been tried before. And, you know, nobody would have predicted that I and Dr. Fauci would be so prominent in, you know, really kind of evil theories about, you know, did we create the pandemic? Are we trying to profit from it? And on and on. And so, you know, I'm very surprised by that. I hope it goes away. I hope it doesn't hold back, you know, mask wearing or seeking out vaccines.
Despite claims it was a humanitarian project, the language mapped a scalable system of containment with zero precedent, going far beyond the temporary measures Americans actually endured, revealing an institutional willingness to warehouse American citizens under the banner of public health. The document detailed community buildings with a single entry point for meager food and supplies, zero free movement in or out, 2-meter distancing even from visitors, a complete ban on religious services, dedicated monitors watching every move for, quote, compliance and, quote, stigma, and cold contingency plans to stop the inevitable suicides. Authorities planned for community backlash and potential violence if people resisted after their freedom was sidelined for supposed safety. America was just inches away from permanent medical concentration camps. The original trajectory would have gone from prolonged restrictions to mandatory measures, all while the Mockingbird media cheered it on. The document stands as stark evidence that COVID-era controls were designed to be far more sweeping and enduring than what ultimately materialized, raising enduring questions about the CDC's institutional mindset and the thin line between safety and the mad leap towards totalitarian control. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Welcome back. Second hour of War Room. We're going to continue the COVID discussion. We're going to get into more of it. I want to play Rand Paul talking about Bill Gates.
You've talked about Bill Gates. Is he someone you'd like to talk to? He was in high-level meetings shaping America's COVID policy. You also, after last week's hearing, mentioned other people surrounding Fauci that you would be calling in potentially to the Hill.
I'm going to call his assistant, who said she deleted a lot of his records. As far as Bill Gates, I think the most important thing we've learned so far is that he wants to find and identify all the viruses in the world. It sounds noble at first. Sounds like it might even be a good idea until you think about it. So if a virus is buried 300 feet underground in Bat Guano, 15 hours away from a major city in China, does it make sense to take a virus that doesn't interact with humans very often and bring it to a city of 15 million people? So I think that idea of Bill Gates is a bad one, but they do more than that. They take the virus to Wuhan, and then they mix and match parts of that virus with other viruses, and then they try to infect humanized mice. This whole procedure can train or push the evolution of a virus towards infecting humans. So they call it virus identification, yeah. But in the end, it has elements of gain of function and is actually very dangerous.
It doesn't just have elements of gain of function research, which of course is making something more transmissible, more infectious, ultimately more severe because it's going to eventually mutate. This is gain of function research. That's what they are involved in. This is what they're proud of doing it. And, you know, when they get caught, they just either lie or get issued a pardon or both, and it's all good. And you're like, Rex, shut up. You're 23. You're bald. You're retarded. You don't know what you're talking about. Bill Gates must be a scientist or a PhD. He must like run a college or something. Oh, no. He dropped out of college. He's got DARPA connections, Intel connections, all of it. He brags about wanting to reduce the population of entire continents and wanting to shoot missiles of dust into the sun to block our atmosphere. He's just like some random supervillain type guy. And people hear that and they don't want to believe it because it's too fantastical. But I can tell you right now, I think it's one of, if not the leading cause of polio in Africa is this little gremlin's vaccines. Like, here's the thing. You want to say Black Lives Matter? You want to care about, like minorities and people just around the world that are oppressed? This guy might as well be the Grim Reaper. If you're a little black boy or a little black girl in Africa, this guy might just be like Freddy Krueger to you because he comes to your town. Oh, it's with the UN. It's all good. They're going to give you free medicine. They're going to put this thing up your nose and it's going to keep you from getting really sick, keep you from getting paralyzed. And then their life is over. They're done. They die or they're a cripple. They never walk again. Isn't that liberal and loving to the black people? Black lives really matter there. Now, don't they? And you know what you might say? That's a cruel thing for you to say. How dare you say that? My great grandmother, who I knew well, my Gigi, she received polio from the vaccine. From the, I think, the nasal thing that they gave him back then, but it's still a vaccine. My great-grandmother, that's what happened to her. She spent her entire life. She lived into her late 80s, early 90s, I believe, late 80s. She died. She spent her entire life from her late teens, early 20s, up to being like a very elder senior citizen in a wheelchair because of the poison in the vaccine at that time. And if it happened back then and they lied about it, it's happening right now and they're lying about it, in my opinion. So it's not liberal and loving just because he got a fluffy sweater, just because he got different color socks, just because he might call you racist and say you're not liberal enough because you don't support his genocidal policy. You know, he's actually the problem. He's actually the person trying to do these things because he thinks he has the right to do them. I had another thing got lost here. Here it is. Look at this. Isn't this liberal? Just in, for the first time, AI has designed complete viral genomes, producing 16 functional viruses that infect bacteria and pose no threat to people. Okay, well, do we believe that? Do we believe that they cause no threat to people? Do we believe they don't make people sick just because they say so? Oh, the computers say it's okay. The computers say it's all right. The computer says we're going to die, but that's liberal. And I don't understand how people can believe it. Let's go ahead and go into clip number 15. Stephen A. doesn't believe it anymore. Play it.
That he should be embarrassed for the self-adulation that he engaged in? You damn right I do. Because some of the things that he was telling us to do was inconsistent with science, but he was telling us it was science that led to him making the decisions that he made. Masking, 6 feet distancing, the closing of businesses.
Yep.
Forcing businesses,
right,
to push those mandates upon people like me and others. Because I took the vaccine and I took a booster and I wore a mask. And we were told, hey, you ain't going to get COVID if you do that. And I got COVID. And damn it, it almost killed me. Going into 2022, I'm in the hospital 90 minutes before the ball is about to drop. And the doctor says, we've been at this for 3+ weeks. You got double pneumonia. You look really bad. If this antibiotic and this steroid does not work, Mr. Smith, I'm sorry, we're going to have to call your family. It looks that bad, but we should know in 3 hours. And through the grace of God, 3 hours later, I felt better after they gave me that steroid and that antibiotic. But those were the longest 3 hours of my life because I thought it was over. And I remember I had done exactly what Dr. Anthony Fauci was imploring us all to do.
It's actually really powerful stuff right there. And what he's talking about with the steroid and the antibiotic, I watched that heal my grandparents of the Delta variant combined with ivermectin because that's what the doctor gave them, right? The doctors that weren't listening to Dr. Anthony Fauci and the lies coming out of our CDC and NIH, right? The people that actually cared about their patients, people that were willing to treat them during that time. It was a completely different era. You think back, it was really hellish conditions we were under. We're under the boot of these people, under the boot of Big Pharma. And, you know, my co-host Tim Tompkins on the Gray Area. Go ahead and pull up Gray Area on YouTube, guys. If you could, please follow us there. I'm live every Thursday, every Sunday. I also do a morning show, New American Journal. But Gray Area, Tim is from New York. And that's what woke Tim up, is he realized they were lying about COVID. They were lying to him. And Tim took the vaccine. And he's aware now, he's awake now, he's seen the truth about what the monsters like Dr. Anthony Fauci and others have done. And he's mad that he wasn't given informed consent, that he was lied to about COVID, right? Because he was told, you know, you're going to kill grandma if you don't take this. And ultimately, he couldn't go to school unless he took it. Now, you can say, oh, he should have known better, whatever. Well, you're not him. You know, he wanted to be an engineer, wanted to go to a great school, he had the opportunity. But he got to take the shot. And taking the shot is liberal. Taking the shot is liberal. It protects grandma. You're a good person if you take it. Tons of people fell for it. Look at Stephen A. Look how angry Stephen A is. And here's the thing. This is going to be, it already is the mainstream opinion, right? But this is going to be like incontrovertible. This is just going to be fact within 5 years. People will demand justice for this because more people will continue to die. That is the reality. And Stephen A, it sounded like to me, sounded like he got it. Like the vaccine didn't protect him. Sounds like it didn't work out so well for him. Sounds like Dr. Anthony Fauci lied from the very start about every single piece of this. From the origin of the virus to the origin of the vaccine to the effect of the vaccine. And ultimately, millions of Americans like Stephen A., because of this issue, they're aware now of government corruption to the extent of they'll kill American citizens to make profit. That's literally what all this is. They wanted to sell you a cure to something, and they wanted to make you sicker in order to justify it. That's why they sent sick people to the nursing homes. That's why I told you don't go outside, don't get vitamin D. Don't be healthy, don't interact, stay inside. Think about people that lost money, gambling, everything horrible that happened in that time period, especially around 2020 to 2023, right? That's not fair to do to people. That's not loving. That's not a free society. You don't get to treat people like slaves. And people are realizing now that they were treated like slaves. And people don't like being treated like slaves, especially not when it comes to their body. You know, my body, my choice. You know, the pro-choice slogan, the classic, you know, and pro-life, I disavow that 100%. But, you know, my body, my choice. Well, how about that for the vaccine? How about that for the vaccine? Hold on a minute. Can we apply that principle equally? Because all these people, they say that all the time, all the liberal-loving people that push these death jabs on us, right? They say it 24-7. You know, can they agree with that? My body, my choice with the mask? Oh, no, they put the mask on. They pointed at people in grocery stores and told them, put your mask on. I had some fat Mexican lady tell me to put a mask on in like 2022. And I was either at the Walgreens or the CVS on South Lamar. And I just laughed at her. I said, you have diabetes. And she didn't know what to say. She's kind of people go like smoke start shooting out of their ears. And like the clerk or the client's like, you gotta put a mask. Like, I'm shopping. Like, what, are you gonna make me put a mask on? You're gonna call the police? No, but mind your own business then. I'm doing my work. I'm here to get whatever. So you just had to be free, and you really had to live in a place like here where it wasn't truly draconian. It was just everywhere was empty, where you had to exercise that self-actualization as a citizen to be like, I'm not putting up with this. I'm not tolerating this. But in a lot of places, especially in the North, a lot of people didn't have that opportunity. And I think a lot of us that were lucky enough to live in the South and live in places that were more conservative, more red, and more free, I think a lot of us, you know, sometimes we denigrate people that have received the shot. And I'm really against that, because you have to understand this is just one of dozens, hundreds, thousands of societal programs that get run on us to propagandize us, to control us, to confuse us, to make us sicker, to make us die more, because the goal ultimately, as Michael Yon said, is depopulation. And that's what all this is about. People are expensive. We'll have data centers and robots soon. We won't have any of these problems. You know, maybe we have COVID-25 and maybe it wipes everyone out except for the elites. Maybe it's a wonderful liberal thing. You know, if they can convince you that it's liberal and loving for Bill Gates to give black people polio in Africa and be like one of the leading causes of it, if they can convince you of that, hashtag Black Lives Matter, hashtag Bill Gates, he really truly believes that, gives him polio, then they can convince you to believe in, I'll take another vaccine that'll give me cancer. I'll take another injection that'll put chemicals from Big Pharma in my body. They'll keep doing this to you. They'll keep doing it to you over and over and over again. I don't think the American people are going to put up with it much longer. I want to go ahead and play clip number 17, which is just a funny, not true, but funny statement from Trump. As illegal aliens go home, the cost of rent is coming down very fast.
And as illegal aliens go home, the cost of rent, groceries, and other staples is coming down very fast. Our costs are coming way down. You know, they talk about affordability. I took over the country. The prices were through the roof. In my first day, the press said, what are you going to do about affordability? It was a word they devised, affordability. They never used that word before.
I don't know if that's true, Unc. This is one of those things, like, they can convince you to believe that inflation is good and housing prices going up is good. If they can convince you of that, it's pretty much game over. No one buys it. No one believes that. Of course, you could say marginally in some communities, maybe that's true. What about the people that have a H-1B visa and they bought homes with 30-year mortgages back in like 2022, 2023, when it was like 2, 3, 4% interest? What about that? Oh, no, we're going to bring 600,000 Chinese immigrants in. That's going to fix the problem. Let's go ahead and play another delusional statement from a GOP leader. Clip number 13, Mike Johnson.
Record of success. The reason that your taxes are lower than they've ever been, the reason you have more money in your pocket, you didn't have to send it to Washington, is because you elected Republicans
to do
that.
But the reason your gas prices are higher and your fertilizer cost is higher is because of decisions made by this administration.
Well, you can say it that way, or you can say that we took the head off the snake and we prevented the largest state sponsor of terrorism from having a nuclear weapon, which they were dangerously close to doing. I think most Americans understand that was an important priority. Now, we do need to get that settled down. I think we're in process of doing that right now. We need gas prices to stay down to planet Earth, of course, and I think we'll do that. But overall, the conditions were put in place. Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary, summarized it pretty well at the end of last year. He said 2025 is like setting the table. He said 2026 will be the feast and the banquet in the economy for hardworking Americans. And we did that in our legislation. We put the conditions in place. In the first quarter, the economy was beginning to take off like a rocket, and then we got into this skirmish with Iran. Okay, so
clearly
that's a skirmish.
War, whatever you want to call it.
Good boy.
It's a serious situation. I think we're getting close to resolution as we sit here today. There's big developments.
I mean, listen.
All right. So there's been big developments since the end of the 39-day war and the period of the MOU, right? And what he's saying there is, oh, things were great. Yeah, you had a good platform. And then the skirmish happened. He can't acknowledge it's a war. Trump has called it excursion, detour. Other terms have been involved. But skirmish now is a new one from Mike Johnson. We spend $100 billion on a skirmish, and they won't give you a wall. They won't give you mass deportations. They won't give you a tax credit to homeschool your kid. You know, wouldn't that be a skirmish? It's not a big problem. We could probably do, like, when I hear skirmish, I'm like, okay, like a skirmish is something they could probably do, like, 10 of, right? Well, if we could just spend $1 trillion, we'd fart that money out. It's way more than a trillion times 10. By the way, it's like $113 billion price tag for the 39-day period of the war. And that doesn't take into account bases, blah, 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 blah. If we could do that, can't we just spend $1 trillion on the American people? Can't we just do kind of like a little bit of everything they want? No. We can't do that because even though we'd still steal most of the money, we can't steal all of it. And the quickest way for us to steal all of it is to get the U.S. to inflate its defense budget even higher, to buy more weapons that won't be ready for a decade and don't even work. Liberal. You know, we get the vaccines that cause the real serious problems in development just for everybody. We get the mRNA self-replicating technology, which destroys your body and self-replicates the spike protein, myocarditis, all these other things on record. All these people, you look at the insurance actuaries, as my dad always says, and that's where the truth really is. You know, that's just one of the things that we got cooking for you. And after that, we got a war for you. And after that, we got taxes for you. We can't ever spend that $1 trillion here at home. We got all these things to run against you. They're very expensive. And once you start to look at it from that lens, that perspective, it'll all begin to make a bit of sense because they spend money on things that are very important to them and their agenda, just not you and yours. And the signaling, the voting, the thing that we got with Trump, I think prior to that, all the elections that I'd seen, which is just Obama-Romney that I paid really close attention to, but in that I really saw two men that didn't have real positions. I saw two men that they just were the state. And one side represented one faction, the other side represented another. That's what fascinated me so much about 2016 is I didn't get that same energy from Trump. I think it was genuine and real. And that's why I think he lost money. I think that's why the Russiagate stuff happened. And you can watch it. It's like how you break a horse. You keep it walking over and over and over and over and over again until it doesn't want to throw the saddle and bridle off anymore. That's what happened to him, in my opinion. You could say, as Robert Barnes says, frontal lobe dementia. You could say grandiose narcissism. You could say just like delusions of grandeur, rock star syndrome. I think it goes a little deeper than that. I think it has to. Because, like, someone around him has had to tell him to stop. Look at that. I mean, that's the Israel lobby right there. And he laid down. He can't fight against Iran. Like, his goose is cooked. He's a lame duck president already, almost 2 years into his first term. Or not first term, second term. So, like, that's not the position of strength we thought we were going to be in 2024 coming into 2026 and 2028. And it's really unfair to us, the voters, to have that lame duck, dead horse president, which is just Donald Trump at this point, to have that guy tell us that we're bad and we're the problem in the party, that we have to align more with his values. What do you say? I am MAGA. MAGA means whatever I say it means. Well, if it means whatever you say it means, that's subjective. It means nothing because your values are subjective. One day you say you're the peace president. The next day you're circle jerking with Mark Levin. So and doing total war on his behalf, on Lindsey Graham's behalf, on Netanyahu's behalf, on just the behalf of the entire Israel lobby. right? And the next day you're saying you're this fierce, independent, peace president leader. That's not really going to fly with the American people much longer. So, I don't know. I just think that's where we are. I think it's just very unfortunate that he couldn't realize the reality he had. Yeah, thank you, Trump. F you, too. Yeah, seriously, I can't say the F word on this show, but I've said it on The Morning Show, New American Journal. The idea, the crew, oh, man. All right, you got me good. All right, you threw up the hillbilly image of the collar last time, and y'all just got me with Unk. Y'all completely discombobulated me there. You hit me with the thing they used on the Venezuelans. Let's go ahead and play clip number 12, President Trump on Iran.
What makes you think this will be different? Because they tend to never...
It may be, it may not be. I think that the threat of this, this was more than a threat. We were ready to go. And, you know, in life, they know when you're ready to go and when you're just bluffing. Now, we were ready to go, and we are ready to go. We have to do this.
Liar. He's got 7-deuce offsuit. Overhead shot, please. Trump, Hegseth clashed at Camp David over Iran missile depletion concerns. Listen to this. Trump and Hegseth clashed at Camp David. President Potato, Donald Trump's frustration over the Iran war boiled over at Camp David, where he demanded answers from Hegseth on why he had apparently misled Trump on shortages that now threaten to limit military options with Iran. All right, so this just shows that we are in idiocracy already. It's on the record that we're out of defense interceptor munitions. We still have a little bit of precision strike, but these missiles are gone because we fought a 4-year war by proxy with Ukraine on Russia. And what has Zelensky said? Oh, I need 100 of Patriot. I need 100 of Patriot missile. We only have, like, I think 700 left. How many do we make? I think it's like 800 a year, something like that. We're not going to replenish fully until like 2028, 2031. It's not feasible. It's not rational. They can make thousands of drones, thousands of missiles a week. It's not even rational. So I'm going to keep reading this. The encounter took place on the sidelines of his cabinet meeting. Where Trump vented at Hegseth that he thought munitions issue had been fixed. You can't fix it. You can't pull them out of your ass. It doesn't work that way. Like, an eighth grader, if you made them the president and you said, we don't have enough missiles to keep bombing these people, what do you want to do? An eighth grader would understand the issue hadn't been fixed. You can't generate more missiles. Trump thinks it's like a video game where you buy gems or something and you speed up the timer. According to both people familiar with the conversation, the shortages, particularly in long-range guided missiles and air defense interceptors, have been part of the reason Trump has pulled back from launching additional massive strikes against Iran in recent days. They can't do it. They can't sustain it. There's no amount of bombing that they can do that will exceed what they did in the initial 39-day period of the war. They can pretend like there is. They can pretend like they have some miraculous target. If you look at the range of things like the ATACM, if you look at the range of things like the JASSM, they're not able to hit all the way inside the country very deeply. All right. They have limited options. Anything they do has to really be done by plane. And if it's done by plane, they're vulnerable to Iranian air defense and they can't get hit by any of it because they said the Iranians didn't have any. So we've lost over 40 aircraft since this war started. We've lost all our critical radar infrastructure in the Gulf. We've lost, I think, at least 10 systems in between 300 and 600, I think it's $1 million, close to $1 billion each one of these things. We've lost our soldiers, lost our troops and bases that Hegseth lied about and said that were defensible, that were never defended. We've lost the Middle East over this. A completely unforced error, a war of choice. That's what happens when you blow up the elementary school and kill their equivalent of the Pope on day one. It just makes no sense. Why would you do it? The strait was open. Why would you do it? We weren't at war. Why would you do it? Because they don't care. They don't care about you or me. They think that they can win because our interests aren't the same. But we're Americans. We want this to stop. I have Jose Vega running for Congress joining me in the next segment. Looking forward to that. Talking some New York politics with him and also just AIPAC in general, his opponent, Richie Torres, many others. Be right back. Rex Jones News with the Z. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram.
Fight for our sovereignty, which is fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there's a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
oh, I've said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, you're your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the global's going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that, mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like
that. Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Come on now, Bandit. We gotta get this truck on the road.
He's bound down. Help and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
Let's get a move on.
We've got a long way to go. And a short time to get there. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, some never mind it breaks. Let it all hang out, cause we gotta run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. And we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. We gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the second hour of the War Room. I hope y'all are having a great afternoon / evening or night, wherever you are across the world. Rex Jones, Rex Jones News on Twitter with a Z. Follow me there on Instagram as well. I'm being joined now by Jose Vega. Jose Vega is a 27-year-old political organizer and associate of the LaRouge movement. Jose worked with LaRouge from the time he was 16 and helped organize concerts, youth choruses, and science programs for young people from the ages of 12 to 18, were taught the ideas of Johannes Kepler, Albert Einstein, and Bernard Riemann. Since then, Jose has intervened against a number of political figures. You're famous, really, for your man-on-the-street action as well. Economists and think tank leaders such as AOC, Mike Pompeo, Kamala Harris, Richie Torres, Hakeem Jeffries, and the editors of the New York Times, Reuters, and the Washington Post. Quite the rap sheet, you know. Jose ran against Richie Torres in the 2024 election as an independent candidate in New York District 15. He is running again to bring an end to the two-party system in the U.S., which has brought us nothing but forever wars and financial bailouts. Jose was raised in the South Bronx and believes that true change can come from people realizing the better traditions of the U.S. Republic. Jose, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Alex. What a great, Rex.
You're good. Here's the thing. I was hosting the Alex Jones show last week. It is my middle name, right? It is literally my middle name is Alexander. So you didn't even get it wrong, technically. But go ahead.
All right. Good. Great. No, well, just thank you. It's a great introduction. Where'd you get that from?
I don't know. I think Daria put this together. I think the producer put this together.
Well, as you got one great of a producer. I hope they're getting a raise. Yeah,
she's great.
Absolutely. No, but yeah, no, it's crazy what's going on out here in New York, what's going on in the world with the war, how it's impacting people. And, you know, just one quick thing for people to know, you know, the interesting thing about the district that I'm running in, it's actually the poorest congressional district in the whole country. Like, there's parts of Mississippi that don't even have plumbing or, you know, certain infrastructure that's just basic. And somehow this area is poorer than that.
Wow. So Richie Torres, he's got a very lucrative campaign, right? He's had a lot of cash infusions from, you know, various entities, shall we say. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because, you know, you hear these stories of politicians who get gobs of money, right? And it's like, well, what exactly do you do with all that money apart from running for Congress over and over and over again? Well, instead of focusing on that, Politico actually put a hit piece on me. And they were coming at me because of the fact that I disclosed that my salary for a year is about $26,000 to $27,000 a year. And that's gross pay. That's before I pay my taxes, which go and kill children in Gaza or are now funding Pete Hegseth's wild fantasies. Politico puts out this hit piece on me saying I might be too poor to run for Congress and that I shouldn't even be paying myself while I'm running for Congress. Meanwhile, what we've uncovered is that Richie Torres is taking all this blood money from AIPAC. That was known already. But we actually figured out how the consultant class corruption works. What he is doing is he's giving his money that comes to his campaign. That's AIPAC money, Wall Street money, blood money. And he's giving it to his financial director, this guy named Jeff Larrivee, who then is using that money to pay himself with his own consulting group. And then he's paying his husband through another consulting group that his husband owns. And then they're paying each other because they both co-own another consulting group called Ramble Group LLC, where they're both co-owners of. So this money is just going into their hands. And not only that, they are billing the Torres campaign. They're billing Equality PAC and their consulting groups about $15,000 a month for rent, okay, for a $2 million home in Washington, D.C., and they own four homes in Washington,
D.C. I want to get into this because people will say, Rex, you're talking to Jose. Jose's running in District 15. Like, why are you talking to? You're in Texas, right? Richie Torres is one of these swamp creatures, right? This guy is, like, high on the list. This guy has taken tons of blood money. You confronted him in person. He's completely, like, vacant robot, just wants to support genocide and get the check. Get into why he's important to know about, just as one of these other, you know, swamp creatures like Mike Pompeo or, Hakeem Jeffries.
So this guy is like bought and paid for by Israel. You can say that about most congressmen,
right?
But this guy specifically, before he was in Congress, when he was in the City Council of New York City, Israel was flying him out to Tel Aviv. Yeah, that's a video of me confronting him, telling him that everybody hates him. But I was confronting him in over the fact that he was getting trips paid to Israel and Tel Aviv, the fact that he was meeting with people like Yoav Gallant here in the district. By the way, he brought Yoav Gallant, one of the worst Israeli war criminals, to the Bronx. And it's the fact that the people of the Bronx demand that they want somebody who's actually going to listen to them, because again, their situation is so bad that the majority of the people that are living in the South Bronx are living underneath the poverty line. And this guy talks about Israel 300% more times. This is something that a calculation, a real calculation that we did. He says the word Israel 300% more times in the Congress than he talks about the Bronx. Then he talks about his own district and he talks about the United States. And this guy is completely disgusting. Not only that, he's the top fundraiser for the Democratic Party right now. The Democratic Party is collapsing. It's got a whole bunch of debt. Richie Torres is one of their saving graces right now. So we go after him. You go after the whole establishment, basically, because that's what he represents.
So he's a linchpin. He's a linchpin figure.
Exactly. He's very pivotal to, he's not just some nobody congressman who just kind of gets by. Like, he is like moving and shaking things in the Congress. And he is sort of like the go-between for all of this dirty money. And he's important for the, that's a good picture, but for the connection between Israel and the United States.
And it's bizarre and sick that we have this 51st state thousands and thousands of miles away. And that's really who he represents. And I think he's pretty open about that too. So I think if more people hear about this and understand we have an American, somebody that I've heard you quote the Constitution at great length, Jose, versus somebody that's ultimately spiritually, I think he identifies as being from Tel Aviv and representing those people over there. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. He's always comes to these pro-Israel events. He's always brought in as like, our guy on the inside, right? He's used as a useful idiot, basically, to continue to propagate war and genocide. In fact, he's not an apologist for war. He's an advocate for war and genocide. In fact, it goes beyond Israel, too. It's not just Israel that he supports. He was one of the early people saying we need to give money to neo-Nazis in Ukraine.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was saying that we need to start war with over Taiwan with China, that we need to bomb Iran. He said no one should shed a tear for the fact that we just killed the Ayatollah, and it's kind of wild, right, that the people in this district who I speak to don't want war, and yet Richie Torres is like the number one cheerleader for it. This guy is like one of the absolute worst congressman when it comes to foreign policy altogether.
But he's a great example of they all go where the money is. And he's very clearly, it's like you say, you're talking about like four houses, talking about various LLCs, sounds like to me, speculating shell corporations and various things. That shouldn't be the intent of getting into politics. I know that you're upset, just as I am, to see our country degraded and destroyed, and that you actually want a better future. So how do you compare contrast your values as to his? Does he have values?
He has no values. His values are whoever's paying him the most money. We have this funny saying here about Richie Torres, like, okay, maybe he can't be bought, but he can be rented. And the thing about him is that he's going to listen to whoever has the biggest check, whoever has the biggest pocketbook, whoever has the most money to give to him. That's who he's going to listen to. And if you are poor, you cannot afford his time. You cannot afford his attention. Not only that, he detests poverty. He's one of these people that came from it. He grew up in a project in poverty. And as a result, though, he's learned to detest it, reject it, and wants nothing to do with anyone who's in it. And that includes the people of his district. As a result, though, what we are doing here in the Bronx compared to this dude is we are exposing the fact that this guy is making his friends millionaires. This is actually kind of a breaking story that Mel had exposed.
Go into
the
it.
Fact that he's. Yeah, well, it's the fact that he's like, making his friends super rich, and the fact that he's got $15 million in his bank account, his campaign bank account, which is what he's, using to stay in power. He's also giving that to other elected officials, lower level elected officials. So, for example, he's giving a couple thousand to the state assemblyman in the area, the city councilman in the area, to the state senators in the area so that they'll continue to support him and endorse him. And the problem is, here's the problem. None of this is hidden from the public. Like, you can go find this. You can go to the FEC website and you can type in who's getting the money. The question is, who's going to enforce it? Who's actually going to hold up the law, right? Because what I have come to discover, especially in the last decade, is that the law is meaningless unless people are prepared to actually put it into action and uphold justice. You know, because justice isn't going to come from above. You know, the Trump administration right now is completely co-opted. So who's actually going to bring that justice? And I'm thinking it has to come from the citizenry. It has to come from ordinary people like ourselves. You know, I don't come from some political dynasty. I don't come from, you know, like my mom's not a film director. You know, that's
let me get into it. Let me boil this down. This is why everyone needs to know. Is because when you see somebody like this, it's advocating for taking money for propping up genocide and war crimes and ultimately destroying our country in the interest of a foreign power, you know, prioritizing them instead of us. When you're on the street and you see that person, no violent action ever. We're peaceful people, never advocate anything like that. But you say, hey, why do you support genocide? Why are you killing little kids in Gaza? And when everyone says that to you, when the person you're getting DoorDash says that to you, person that you drop your kids off at school says that to you, you know, like people will do that because that's where we're getting. When there's a global depression that's already happening because of all this stuff, it's going to become unacceptable to have these positions to be somebody that supported war crimes. I mean, you're saying he was happy about the Ayatollah being killed?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He, after the Ayatollah was killed, he put out a tweet that was like, no one should shed a tear for the Ayatollah. He was this, he was that, he was all kinds of awful things, you know? And of course, he has to do that Democrat thing where they have to be anti-Trump, right? You know, and he has to pretend to be against Trump's actions, even though he was just celebrating the fact that the Ayatollah died and his Israeli handlers told him to be completely happy and optimistic about it, you know? But yeah, this guy is just completely bought and disgusting. I mean, he's one of Ben Gavir's cheerleaders. You know, he's
you're kidding.
A big fan. Yeah, no, I'm not kidding.
Explain.
Man.
No, I mean, like, we cover Ben Gavir a lot on the network. My dad calls him like the vampire teeth. I think that's his nickname for him. Go ahead and read this to the audience if you wouldn't mind.
This is Richie Torres. I have two sets of thoughts. One regarding the Islamic Republic of Iran, the other regarding war powers. First, the Islamic Republic of Iran has been the gravest threat to peace and stability in the Middle East. It is a murderous oppressor of its own people, the world's leading state sponsor of terror, a rogue regime armed with dangerous ballistic missiles, and until recently, a threshold nuclear state.
Hold on. It sounds like he's talking about Israel. That's what's so outrageous about all this, right? It's like there is a nuclear power in the Middle East that is destabilizing and funding terrorism, right? On record. And they're not a signatory to the NPT. They don't have to deal with nuclear regulation. And the idea that Iran, when 19 intelligence agencies said they're not doing it, and when two CIA independent assessments said they weren't doing it, the idea that the Ayatollah, the guy who banned the bomb, killing him was going to somehow prevent their nuclear program. I view it all as a self-fulfilling prophecy. And we got Ben Gavir, I call him Cartman 2.0, up there on screen right now. Look at him. He's right there. He literally says, burn all of Lebanon. All of Lebanon must burn. For every one of our mothers that weep, 1,000 Lebanese mothers must weep. And I played the clip. I think it's just like some random settler guy or whatever, on the last show that I did, where the reporter goes, well, how many Palestinian lives is a Jewish life worth? Like 100,000? He says, no, 1 million, no, 10 million. And it's just, there's no equivocation. You can't do that stuff. It's monstrous. Everyone's equal. We're all human. We're all created in the image of God. And to prioritize one group over another just because you have more guns and you have more political capital, I think the world will come to see this really as the new 1930s. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. I think it's, you know, Israel likes to, and the United States likes to say, we're trying to prevent a theocratic nation from having nuclear weapons. There's already a theocratic nation that has nuclear weapons, and it's Israel, right? And then when you ask these neocons, when you ask these warmongers who are in some kind of power or have some authority, or like Ann Applebaum, who have some think tank somewhere who think they're legitimate, they say, well, Israel's different because they're our ally. Oh, yeah, really? Are they really our ally? Who's ally? Because they're not my ally, right? You know, I think it's kind of embarrassing, actually, that all the blackmail material that Israel has over the current Trump administration is allowing them to get away with whatever it is they want. And to the fact that we were about to do what, Section 219, or in the Senate, Section 1217, yes. Which was going to merge our military intelligence and technology with Israel.
And he wrote it right there. That's the author. He bragged about it in a letter. Literally, that's the king of America.
Yes. I wish more people knew that too, that Netanyahu wrote a letter to a congressman like saying, oh, I want to thank you for a great dinner that we were having where we, you know, I said that we should absolutely do this and you agreed and now you're putting it in legislation with this section. So very good. I approve of this. It's like, why do we need Bibi's stamp of approval before we do anything in regards to, you know, how we vote in the House of Congress, right? It's completely disgusting. And that's why I'm happy that this humiliation ritual of bending the knee to Israel, it has to come to an end. And I think it will come to an end. That's what makes me optimistic, because people are waking up every single day.
Yeah, and Trump is very symptomatic. He's very, like as Uncle Sam for the country, if Trump is like, I'm a virus, I'm going inside. Like, he's very obvious, like Lady Liberty, Uncle Sam is sick, right? And America sees it. And I think now that we're more symptomatic and we're going through this pain, I think more people are realizing it. And I just think the reality, everyone has a cell phone. Right. So everyone has a cell phone. Everyone can look at like literal war crime, like the worst footage ever. It scars everyone that sees it. Literally all of us. We should have never have seen this stuff. We're so desensitized. We tolerate it. I think people are reaching critical mass as to where they don't want to be morally lectured by somebody that supports that.
Yes, that's right. And I think that right now it's more important than ever that people continue to follow independent media wherever it exists, like you and this show all together, our friends like Dude Dissidents, Jimmy Dore. You know, there is a real renaissance, I think, of real independent media where people are now getting their mainstream news. I'll share with you a funny story. I was in the hospital about a month and a half ago, and the doctor treating me, you know, it was a pretty private thing that happened to me, but the doctor treating me, he goes, yeah, all right, Mr. Vega, you seem to be good. We can discharge you. By the way, I didn't finish listening to your podcast episode on Dude Dissidents this morning. And he shows me he was listening to me on a program. Now, I say that not because of like, oh, it's me. No, it's because people, everyday people, from your doctors to DoorDash drivers, like you were saying, are becoming aware, are finding different outlets, alternative outlets around the country now, and are saying, you know what? I don't want to fall under the mind control anymore of the mainstream media. I'm tired of being lectured by people like Joe Scarborough and Rachel Maddow. I want the truth. And that's what's happening right now. There's a real rebellion happening. And so hopefully one of those ways that it can manifest is people helping us out too.
And that's because the establishment is so concentrated both on the left and the right of funding, supporting this war, that it exposes really the two wings of the same bird theory, which is the reality of American politics. And that's why people say, oh, the two-party system, the institution. Well, how's the institution working out? How is that working out for everybody? I think that's the key question. So, Jose, where can people support you? Where can people find you? Go ahead and tell them about your website, more about your campaign, and where that will go should they choose to support you.
So people can go to votevega.nyc. That's my website. People can sign up to do two things. They can either donate or volunteer. Both of those things are extremely critical to any congressional campaign. If people donate, what that's going to go towards is mass printing of leaflets, posters, and signs, because we are going to expose the fact that Richie Torres is using campaign funds to illegally make his friends super wealthy, giving them thousands of dollars, and the fact that they are paying their own rent on a $2 million house with people's money that they are giving, but also with blood money as well. It's a conflict of interest. It's completely illegal. And in a sane country, Richie Torres would be gone. And if people sign up to volunteer, they'll be helping us distribute this material. They'll be helping us put up the posters. And also, if people want to help and be a part of possible future commercials that we want to put out, we want to basically propagate the airwaves here in the Bronx, completely shutting out Richie Torres, completely painting him as the monster that he actually is. And the other thing too is we want to turn people into interventionists. You see me getting dragged out of an event right there.
Right.
What we want to do is we want to turn people into that. We want people to get active, you know?
Right.
You
it's not violent. It's peaceful. You're exercising your First Amendment right. That's your God-given right. The state doesn't have any right to control what you say. You're not making a threat. You're not slandering anybody. It's literally the truth. It's not defamation if it's true. Like, literally, they're war criminals. On the record, bombing a little girl's school. And, like, you need to go to a city council meeting or, like, a congressional meeting or whatever and tell people that peacefully, politically, nonviolently.
Absolutely. No, you have a responsibility to use your First Amendment right. You have to use it because you'll lose it if you don't use it. And you have to tell the truth. You have to speak up at events where there's a congressman in front of you, where there's some, you know, is something that they're missing. You have to be the voice in the room who stands up and says, wait a minute, the emperor has no clothes. Wait a minute. Trump said that we weren't going to go into wars when he was reelected. And now look at us. You know, we're about to go into another Vietnam era style war. You know, you have to look at these people and call them what they are. You have to call them liars to their face. And you have to record it, too, because courage is infectious. Courage gets other people out of the door, out of their beds, and it gives people hope is the other thing too. And it shows that we don't just need to sit around and complain. It shows that there is a viable change in the atmosphere that people can feel and says, I have to stay on. I have to keep fighting for a better future. I just need to intervene and do something because anybody can stand up and tell the truth.
100%. I think that's why the broadcasts are so key, because we put out the information for free for people. They can choose to support us, but that accessibility versus these companies, corporations, same like big pharma, big ag, big military industrial complex that really, you know, in my opinion, all the same interests own and heavily fund, you know, things like the media. We're putting the stuff out and people can choose to receive that information, and they watch it at work. They watch it, you know, at college. They watch it, you know, just during daily life around the house, whatever. And you just reach a point where you realize we don't really get to have a world unless we talk about this, expose it, and ultimately stop it. And the people that have adopted the system, that are in our government or have taken the deal or whatever in the bureaucracy, you name it, in the private sector, hurting the American people, like, or in just form, wherever, they think that it's all going to work out well enough for them to get away from it. They think it's going to be something, as we can get enough distance between us and whatever catastrophe we're going to cause, and it's just going to hurt the little people. But I got a newsflash. We're all little people. Like, life is very fragile on this planet. And by doing these wars, by doing these genocides, by causing this chaos, you know, we can just wake up one of these days and Moscow launches a nuke because they're tired of getting long-range missiles inside from Ukraine, right? And what happens then? What's the calculus? What's the decision then? All the people with the campaign ads, all the people with the promises, all the people with the big smile, where are they going to be? I know where you're going to be. I know you're going to be defending the Constitution and not getting us in these situations. That's why you're my friend. That's why I want to have you on the show. I want to get into a few more things. Can you stay for another segment? You do
sure.
That? Another 5 minute at the beginning of the first hour, and then maybe another 23?
Okay.
I want to talk about your views on the Iran war and your views on Ukraine. We do have that breaking report of Zelensky freaking out, demanding hundreds of Patriot missiles, which is just like asking your parents for a dragon for Christmas. You know, it's not going to happen. It's not real. We barely have hundreds of them anymore. So we're going to be covering all of that and more. I want you to go to thealexjonesstore.com as well. I want you to check out our Methylene Blue. I want you to check out our Ultimate Life Force. I want you to check out the Power Drive Bundle from thealexjonesstore.com. Those are two products that I created. That's Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You can think of Power Plant as the new and improved Super Male Vitality. You can think of the Methyl Drive as the new and improved version of DNA Force. And the Methylene Blue, if you're already taking that, that's also in the stack as well. We have all of that available for you at thealexjonesstore.com. These are amazing mitochondrial health dietary supplements. We have the Ultra Methylene Red, CoQ10, methylated methylcobalamin B vitamins, so much more. That's got the cordyceps. That's got the rhodiola rosea, the zinc, the boron, the selenium, everything if you're deficient, which most people are, to raise testosterone and free testosterone. Jose, I'll send you a care package. I made these two supplements. I'll send you the Power Plant and the Methyl Drive. They're very, very popular at the store. And we'll be right back after this break. Thank you all. Rex Jones, I'll see you in the third hour.
Dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the Methylene Blue formula.
Thank you. folks. Feast your eyes on the magical methylene blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
Abe, I think this is my favorite Alex Jones shirt.
Dude, I totally agree.
Founding Fathers on patrol. Washington and Lincoln rocking the latest Alex Jones shirt. Marching past America's monuments. Liberty is awake. Visit thealexjonesstore.com now.
دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Even if I were pollinated and fully vaccinated, I would admire the unvaccinated for withstanding the greatest pressure I've ever seen. From partners, parents, children, friends, colleagues, and even doctors.
COVID vaccines are now available for children 5 years and older.
Just get vaccinated.
Get the vaccine.
Just get the vaccine.
People who are capable of such personality, courage, and critical ability are undoubtedly the best part of humanity.
There are many thousands of physicians who have been silenced from telling the American people the good news about the situation, that we can manage the virus.
They are everywhere, in all ages, levels of education, states, and ideas. They are of a special kind. They are the soldiers that every army of light wants to have in its ranks. They are the parent that every child wants to have, and the children that every parent dreams of having.
A North Carolina teenager needs a new kidney in order to save her life. But her doctors say no COVID vaccine, no transplant.
Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
They are beings above the average of their societies.
You need to evaluate the risk factor in the COVID vaccine.
They are the essence of the people who have, well, built all cultures and conquered horizons. They are there, next to you. They look normal, but they are superheroes. They did what others could not. They were the tree that withstood the hurricane of insults, discrimination, and social exclusion.
Now, what really stands out about white anti-vaxxers in particular is that they act like their freedom has been taken.
It has nothing to do with freedom.
Screw your freedom.
You don't have the freedom and the liberty to put other people in jeopardy.
Banned from their family's tables at Christmas, they never saw anything so cruel.
If someone in your family isn't vaccinated, should you ask them not to show up?
Yes, I would do that.
If you are not fully vaxxed, stay home.
Everyone from police to teachers to firefighters must comply or they will face penalties.
They lost their jobs, let their careers sink, had no more money. They suffered immeasurable discrimination, denunciation, betrayal, and humiliation, but they kept on going. Never before in humanity has there been such a casting. Now, we are who are the best on the planet Earth. Men, women, young, old, rich, poor, of all races or religions, the unvaccinated, the chosen of the invisible arc, the only ones who managed to resist when everything collapsed. That's you. You passed an unimaginable test that many of the toughest Marines, commandos, Green Berets, astronauts, and even geniuses could not withstand. You are made of the stuff of the greatest who ever lived. Those heroes born among ordinary men who glow in the dark. Remember, you're the voice. It's time to make it count.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word. They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets.
every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to AlexJonesApp.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Big Lee has launched an online pharmacy, 1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
Welcome back to another powerful War Room live broadcast. AJ and live, share live links, live feeds, share the clips with people. We put out clips during the show. If you're watching the Alex Jones Show from 11 to 3 p.m., put out the clips, send them to your friends, family, coworkers. Do the same thing for War Room Live. We're going over key information with Jose Vega, who's running in New York District 15 against Richie Torres, who pretty much is the definition of a swamp creature monster. That's his website. Right there. So, Jose, I want to cover this because the key aspect for the American people, I think, is it's always been clear. It's the economy, stupid. It's affordability, right? And, you know, this was ridiculous under Biden, the rampant inflation, the lying about it, and the gaslighting of the American people. The same thing is happening under Trump, and it's directly what people voted against. I want to read you a quote from establishment swamp creature rhino Dan Crenshaw, overhead shot, please, crew. This is from Dan Crenshaw. Just hearing about this dumb $20 burrito debate, so I thought I'd make the losers on social media angry before I go to bed. Stop whining, get a job, eat ramen like the rest of us did in college on a budget with four roommates. The market doesn't care about what you think something should cost, only communists care. Now, that's a nice framing, right? We don't have a mixed economy where the government has massive interest in huge companies that dominate the economy. That's not going on. Then everyone starves. Are you a communist or are you an American adult male capable of handling his own S word? What do you think of that? What's your opinion? What's your take?
You're upset that things are expensive now and you can barely afford to feed your family. What are you, a communist?
Yeah.
Huh? Respect the markets. What are you, upset that it now costs $120 to fill up your car, your truck, you know, just to get to work now where it used to cost only 50?
Right.
What are you, some kind of communist? You know, I mean.
I want to put out a framing here. I want to put out a framing. Here's the thing. This is straw that broke the camel's back. Because the $20 burrito doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's not just that's gotten more expensive. It's the entire lifestyle being of being an American and living in this culture that we have where you drive everywhere and go shop all the time. We have a consumer economy. That's literally what the whole thing's based off. What do you think?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it happened after, you know, post NAFTA and even post Bretton Woods too, the economic system that was holding up the United States basically from the 30s all the way till it ended around the 70s. You know, we don't produce things anymore. We rely on imports. We rely on things coming in. And that's part of the reason why, you know, with the Strait of Hormuz being shut down, you know, people need to understand something too. With the Strait of Hormuz being shut down, it's not just gas, but you're talking about stuff that's important, like agricultural products too. You're talking about
all
stuff
the fertilizer.
Like fertilizer, yeah. Exactly, right? It's only getting more expensive because it's getting speculated on. It's unable to cross through the Strait of Hormuz. And I actually heard a report that even if the wars, all the wars, because Ukraine is a big exporter of wheat as well, but if all the wars were to end tomorrow, the markets on agricultural goods that are required to actually grow the food we eat would not stabilize until at least 2028. So think about the devastating impacts that this war has had already.
Right.
You know, it reverberates everywhere in our economy.
We we on the network, yeah, we call it a COVID of choice. That's what we call it.
Explain that.
Well, I mean, during COVID, what did we have? We also had, you know, mass famine and mass migration in places as a result of that. And look what happened there. Fauci, EcoHealth Alliance, that's all literally on the record. They lied about funding the gain-of-function research at that very lab where the thing originated. So if they can... If they think they can get that over on you, they think they can get a war over on you and that think that people won't notice it. But I think people are noticing it. What's your take?
Oh, well, absolutely. And I think the fact that the Trump administration has just continued to go head first into this disastrous war, it goes to show. See, this actually goes way back to something that goes back to like the 60s and 70s when it was first being theorized that there may be something called overpopulation. And there was this big group called the Club of Rome that was publishing material saying we're going to run out of resources and that the best course of action is to start curbing population growth. Right. And like, I know a lot of people who may be following me who are on here for the first time may be surprised to hear me talk about this, but this is true. You know, it's like, so you had organizations and you even had the United States government set up something called the Department of Population Affairs. It still exists to this day. One of the things it does is it does reproductive health. It gives birth control and sex ed in all of the schools around the United States. But basically it was that level of thinking which had actually influenced the foreign policy of people like Henry Kissinger and others,
right,
who were starting wars in different countries to curb population growth. And so what we're seeing now is just the next generation of that, of this belief that,
right,
there are too many people on this planet.
Right. And that's the key for people to understand. They want like 500 million people or less. Like, that's what the elite people have decided is best for the planet. And, you know, no one votes for them. No one decides. No one gets to regulate their illegal activities. But somebody like Bill Gates, like, hey, I just get to go over and give people polio in Africa. He's one of the leading causes of people getting polio in Africa on record. My great grandmother received the polio vaccine here and she was crippled for life. So like, this happens to people. Like, I knew her. Like, I grew up with her. I've seen this, right? And when you have people that play God, they're not even doctors. They're not even scientists. The guy literally dropped out of college. And you're like, well, why do you have this outsized influence and power? Why can you take a country to war, destabilize a country's economy, or help, you know, create a situation where maybe we have a virus pop out or something like that? And they just say, well, we're successful for a reason. We figured something out, and if you don't let us run your system, we're going to destroy it. And I think that's really America and really the world being held hostage, and that's what I always point out about people like that. What do you think?
I'm about to blow people's minds because a lot of people see Bertrand Russell today as like this progressive anti-war figure. But if you look at his writings from the 1940s, he was saying the best ways to control population is disease, it's birth control, and it's war. Those were the three things he was saying. And he was advocating for the United States to use a nuclear weapon on the Soviets before they could develop theirs so that the United States could be the sort of king over all the other countries, because there needed to be a balance like in the animal kingdom where the United States needed to reign supreme over all the others.
And Trump believes that. Trump believes that. That's exactly the ideology what you're describing there. So go into it. Who is this guy and what's the context of the quote?
Oh, Bertrand Russell, man, was like, now he's seen as like a peacenik. In fact, like, you know, the peace sign that exists today, this and like the
right,
peace sign he was the inspiration behind it. And he was, you know, anti-war in Vietnam and whatnot. But the 1940s and 50s, like, he was, you know, collaborating with people like Einstein and whatnot. And he had founded this thing called the Congress for Cultural Freedom. But basically he was like putting out there in academia. He was getting all the intellectuals, all the oligarchs to be like, yo, population control, let's get in on it now, because we have to keep it low because there's a balance of nature or whatever. So he was one of the first people in making popular the idea that we need to curb the population. He was like a next generation of Malthus, you know, you ever heard of Malthusianism? Yeah, that's what he was. He was just continuing that forward for a then contemporary audience of, whoa, no way, you have the German Congress for Cultural Freedom. Wow. Sorry. That's pretty, I know that's just like just background.
It's a good ship.
Yeah. You guys, that's awesome. But yeah, you know, and like the Congress of Cultural Freedom was also responsible for spreading modern culture as well. Like, they were pushing people like Jackson Pollock and modern art and whatnot. They say it was to compete with the Soviets. It was actually to make our culture pretty stupid, you know, so that people would then become docile and they wouldn't rebel against the oligarchs. Like, you know, the 1940s and 50s, especially that post-FDR era, was crucial for,
creating the culture.
Yeah.
So explain that a little bit more. So give us a deep dive on this guy and really how he created that culture. So he went around, did he establish clubs or foundations or organizations? What did he do?
Yeah. So apart from the Congress for Cultural Freedom, and, you know, actually, one of the people that, you know, I work with, Lyndon LaRouche, he passed away a while ago, but like they put, you know, Bertrand Russell is an evil man. You know, that's one of their popular essays that they had published a while back. And one of the first things I had read, but basically, like, you know, this guy, was also like, when he was coming up as a college student, he was also coming up with like asinine and completely insane mathematical and scientific theories that would just fall apart.
Right.
Right. So it was like he was doing like a cultural intervention all over, not just in art and science, but mathematics as well, and in population affairs. He was advising governments here and there. He was seen as like this, you know, just towering intellectual figure who was at the end of the day just a Malthusian. And it's interesting because if you were to ask a lot of peaceniks today, people who I'm friends with, people who I have utmost respect to are anti-war, they look up to this guy as like some, you know, honorable anti-war dude who was an advocate against, you know, the nuclear bombs and stuff, but it's not true. He's one of the reasons why we're actually in the mess that we're in today. So anyway, I didn't mean to tangent off of just off Bertrand
Russell. I wanted to ask you because people have to understand, like, the current elites, they stand on the shoulders of giants, right? And this has been planned out for a long time. There's various different iterations of it, but this is the origins of the swamp that we're talking about here. Getting people cool with the idea just globally of, hey, we're going to have this feudal system. We're going to have this caste system. It's going to be implemented our way, because if we don't do it, someone else is. That's always the excuse. It's like you say, law of the jungle, right? Someone has to be the tiger.
Yeah, and that's the other important thing that people need to understand, this idea of law of the jungle. It very much is the methodology, or I guess even the ideology of a lot of the people that put us into war today, because they see everybody as animals, including themselves. So when you're talking about people like Mike Pompeo, or you're talking about neocons like John Bolton, like, they see themselves as animals. They see everybody as animals, but that they see themselves as the alpha dogs, as the top dogs. And for them, it's just a matter of, you know, well, we have to, you know, we have a responsibility to be the top dog. So we get to say who gets to be a slave and who gets to be leaders, because that's the only way in which you can ever have like a functioning society. And even that goes way back to people like Aristotle and Plato, because there was like this whole division. Are we people or are we not? And Plato, are we animals or are we not? And Plato loved human beings. He was like, no way, man. Everyone has an ability to think and reason. Aristotle puts it out in one of his most popular works, Politics, Book 1, Paragraph 6. Are some people born to be slaves and some people born to be kings?
Right.
Yes. And you should be happy to be a slave, because you know what? You're a human slave, and that's better than being an ox, you know, or some
You're talking about natural slavery. That's what we're talking about here, the philosophical idea of it. So go ahead and get into that, if you would.
Yeah. No, this is like a big idea that had ruled for centuries after, but Aristotle was one of the people who popularized it. And that's another one of these figures of people who think that should be so revered and, oh, Aristotle, Aristotle was an idiot. He thought that our best sense, you know, cause we have five senses, was our ability to touch things, you know, cause animals can't touch things the way human beings can. But
Unc was real smart. Figured it out. Wow. Genius alert. Okay.
No, but he had, idea that some people are born to be slaves and some people are born to be kings. And that's one of the reasons why you also had monarchies. They would quote Aristotle. They would be like, listen, like, you know, this is just the way God wants things. You know, God made you the lineage of a king for a reason and he made me a peasant for a reason. And who am I to disobey God? That was Aristotle's, thinking and methodology. And this was a big fight because Socrates and Plato were vehemently against that idea. They really did believe that everyone was created equal. And people can read Plato's Meno dialogue for that proof, there, where he proves that a slave boy is actually more intelligent than a slave owner. It's a whole thing. Not going to get into it. Yeah. And see, even that painting right there is a critique of Aristotle. The way he's holding his book prevents him from walking into the discussion further, because that's part of the bigger painting called The School of Athens. Whereas Plato has his book tucked in so he can walk freely. Aristotle can't walk any further because his own thinking, represented by the book, prevents him from walking further, whereas Plato can walk wherever he wants. Wow. So, anyway, I know. We're going everywhere with this segment.
No, this is super. You know? This is great. People need to understand, because ultimately these are 1,000-plus-year-old ideas, 2,000, 4,000-year-old ideas, and everything in the modern world is designed to distract you, confuse you. Whereas these people, they know kind of like the deeper law of like the universe, society, how really human civilization functions and works. And when you understand even a little bit of that, you will start to understand really all of geopolitics, world politics, because it is about ultimately the interests that deem themselves superior and you inferior. And by nature of that, they have the right to oppress you. Like that's greater Israel. That's literally what they believe.
Right. And that's why poverty is a choice of political will. The leadership in the country makes poverty happen. It's artificial. It's, you know, and they want you to think, well, if, you know, if like what Dan Crenshaw's doing there, he's like, well, you know, if you just pulled yourself up by the bootstraps and ate ramen for 10 years, maybe you might be able to afford a house. It's not true. You know,
yeah.
And he is one of these Aristotelian Bertrand Russell thinker types who want you to believe that you're supposed to be poor because you're supposed to be poor and you should suck it up and you could maybe live a little more comfortably. Meanwhile, they can live in their ivory towers. You know, that's what they do. They live in their ivory towers. Dan Crenshaw's good. He's going to retire as a congressman no longer a congressman. He's still going to get the pension. He's still going to be living off of the taxpayer funds of everyday people like you and me. That's what happens when you serve at least more than one term in Congress. It's a really this is why I
dump
you know,
it. Here's the thing. We're in the third hour. We got 7 minutes left in this segment. You're all good. Just like, what is your message to the American people about like recognizing this like elite strain within our politics and how your campaign is working against it?
The thing is that you are more powerful than you think you are. You know, there is this line from Shakespeare, "Oh Brutus, you know, we are like, you know, yes, we are like underlings, basically." But I actually think that we are much more powerful than we think we are. And our real power comes from the idea that we are created equal and we are created in the living image of the Creator. And when you have that idea, when you start, like, if that's your guiding principle right there, that every human being is created equal, you are already superior to these neocons who have bombs, who have nuclear weapons, who have tanks,
guns. Let me come in there. Yeah, that's the thing, is like, we're all the same. We're all created in the image of God. You don't have the right to do these things to people, ultimately. Like, that's the thing. Like, it just, we can't do it. And when you see them do it, like, everyone has that, like, what's the first stage of grief? It's denial, right? It's like, oh, well, that's not the situation. They've made us pay for murder, and they've normalized that emotion. What do you think?
Yeah, Absolutely, because they've made you forget what it means to be a human being. You know, and I mean, I have this problem too. A lot of people have this problem too, you know, where we find ourselves scrolling through TikTok or Twitter or Instagram endlessly, and we get caught up on stuff that ultimately doesn't matter, when within our own heads is this ultimate power, which is called reason and creativity, where you actually have the ability to do whatever it is you want to do, and it's all here in your head. So why should we, you know, feel any kind of pessimism or sadness about the situation when we really can do whatever it is we want because God gave us the talents to do so the moment we were born?
Right.
And that's kind of like, I mean, this is
and by
is like
nature,
really
by nature of yeah. who we are, whether you're a rocket scientist or a little boy with Down syndrome, we're all created by God. We all have this value, and no one is allowed to do anything wrong to us that violates that nature. No one is allowed to treat you like an animal because we're not animals.
Dang straight. And, you know, like one of my favorite quotes is Dr. King, who said, you know, if you're a street sweeper, you sweep the streets like Beethoven composed music. You know, you do what you do it with dignity.
Right. Everyone's know, inherently Dr. valuable. King. Everybody.
Absolutely.
And that's a key thing that they don't have. And that's why we're going to win and they're going to lose, is because people that deny that, it doesn't spiritually work out at the end of the day.
That's exactly right. Dr. King was assassinated. The very last speech Dr. King gave was to a group of sanitation workers, you know, in the middle of a thunderstorm. He thought no one was going to come. They came anyway. And he delivered one of his best speeches, you know, from the mountaintop speech, where he goes all the way from Plato and Socrates all the way to the present day. And that was one of his best speeches. And he delivered it to. Yeah, that's it. That's one of my favorite quotes, man. Your staff, and they got it. They got it, man. I really appreciate them bringing
the
this stuff up. But yeah, man.
Yeah. If
that's,
it,
you know,
I'll read it from Dr. King here. Go ahead and throw that back up, please. If you would, the quote from Martin Luther King, if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets as Raphael painted pictures, sweep streets as Michelangelo carved marble, sweep streets as Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. Absolutely. And that's the thing, is really just having pride and just being a human, and not thinking that government can like debase us or treat us the wrong way. Like they're not entitled to do that.
So. Absolutely. They're not. No. And so people should reclaim their dignity and declare their independence. Yet again, that's what the Declaration of Independence was. It was a declaration of dignity, that we are human beings and that no one is above anybody else, and that we get to dictate our government, not some kings who wear powdered wigs or anything like that, but human beings. We, the people, get to decide what happens with our country, what happens with our future, which is why I'm super optimistic for the future, which is why I'm super optimistic, because I know, you know, Washington knew something when he wrote his farewell address, that we should strive for national unity, and we will get there. It's a long road, but we're going to get there.
Yeah, I agree. Where can people find you? Where can they support? Oh, we got to, Well, that's a cheap imitation, a pale imitation of George Washington. Right there.
People can support us. And if they want to bring these ideas to the Bronx, then go to votevega.nyc. We are currently raising funds. We need about $15,000 to put out a mass distribution of this leaflet, of putting this corruption out there on the airwaves. And we need boots on the ground to distribute it. So you can hit the donate button or the volunteer button, or both if you can. So that's votevega.nyc. And people can also find me on my social media handles at VoteVega26. That's my ex account right there. That's a picture of me getting dragged away in an event on October 16th, 2023, 10 days or 9 days after October 7th. Yeah, that's right. 9 days after October 7th, I stood up at Temple Emmanuel, one of the largest synagogues in New York City, where Rachel Maddow herself came to speak. And I told her she was going to get this wrong. She was going to support the Israelis, and that there was, in fact, an ethnic cleansing happening in Gaza, and it needed to be talked about.
Wow.
So, VoteVega.nyc.
And really quick, just give us a few big names you've confronted on the street.
Absolutely. Hakeem Jeffries, I had confronted him on the Nord Stream revelations. My opponent, Richie Torres, Rachel Maddow, the executive editors of the New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, Reuters, AOC confronted her. Mike Pompeo confronted her. Nancy Pelosi, I had the pleasure of calling her a sad old drunk.
Nice.
Paul Krugman, this economist from the New York Times, you know, Kamala Harris confronted her as well. So many people, Joe Biden, a lot of people that I confronted, and I'm going to keep doing it too. And I would urge people join me in that as well.
Phenomenal men on the street work, New York District 15 running against Richie Torres, Jose Vega. Thank you for your time, man.
Thank you for having me and letting me go off on Bertrand Russell that way.
Oh, 100%, man. That was a great clip. We'll put that out. I'll send it to you. Thank you, Jose Vega.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to be right back after this break with more. And I got some top stories for you that you want to hear, more COVID news. I do have something about a classified Soviet study that we're going to get to after this break.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market, one who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you, Meta, Facebook is watching you, Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Doing what we can to stop World War III on the network. That's AJN Live. That's War Room Live. Share live links, live feeds, repost, retweet the stream. Tell your friends about the War Room. Tell your friends about the Alex Jones Network in general. And even our website if they want to get phenomenal supplements. I'm your host, Rex Jones. Follow me, Rex Jones News with the Z on Twitter. I want to continue the roundup on what's happening in the Middle East. And then I want to relate that to what's happening at home, both with the domestic economy and the domestic censorship agenda. Both parties of which are getting exactly what they wanted through this war. I got Greenblatt of the ADL, and then I got a leading senator, Dave McCormick, talking about how are we going to win the midterms? Oh, we're just going to bark about the economy. But first, the human cost of all of this. Trump-Hegseth clashed at Camp David over Iran missile depletion concerns. I went over this earlier, but I want to get back into it. Trump vented at Hegseth that he thought the munitions issue had been fixed. There is no fixing it. I just want to remind you again, you can't pull these out of your butt. You can't invent them. You can't spend gems on it like it's Clash of Clans to speed up the timer. It's going to be years and years and years until we have these things again. And you would say this makes absolutely no sense to do to our country. This, you know, hurts our citizens, kills our soldiers, gives them traumatic brain injuries. Here's the article I was looking for. All right, I made a little bit of error there, but there we go. Iran war renews concerns about the lasting toll of traumatic brain injuries to U.S. troops. There you go. Look at this. So we have over 500 casualties, like injuries, like wounded over there. Not apparently in action because Trump says it's not a war, even though it's a 47-year conflict that we're going to fight for another 20 that we already won, which we know is ridiculous. But over 500 people, we don't know how badly they're injured, but the amount of TBIs, the lasting effects of traumatic brain injuries, are raising fresh concerns about the toll of the Iran war on American troops who are suffering those wounds due to a conflict without a clear end. Nearly, 700 U.S. Service members have been wounded by drone and missile attacks on bases. Everything's under control. I'm going to read that again. Nearly 700 U.S. service members have been wounded by drone and missile attacks on bases in the Middle East and other fighting. Most have experienced most, you say. Oh, so it's not somebody getting a hangnail. It's not somebody, I don't know, tripping on a banana peel and, you know, hurting their back somehow. Most of these people, 700, most, this is AP. It's like when my dad said, we got Axios, AP, Reuters, all saying the same thing. This is AP saying it, all right? Most of these people have experienced traumatic brain injuries and return to duty. Isn't that good? So it's like being in the UFC, right? Well, Uncle Sam asked you to sign up and get in the ring. And sure, you know, you might get 1, 3, 5 traumatic brain injuries. Not going to say how severe it is. It's all good. Go back in the service. You know, we'll put you in another base that can't be defended. Yeah, exactly. It's the concussion Olympics, the concussion war, because we can't defend our own people. The Pentagon's chief spokesman, Sean Parnell, last month called the vast majority of injuries over a 2-week period minor concussions. So that's like the reminds me of the NFL. Not good. .. Not good. No bueno. No bueno, muy mal, very bad, right? And we don't believe what they say. And this is what they say. Here's what the doctor says. Concussions are often termed mild TBIs, and many people recover within weeks, but sometimes those with seemingly mild initial symptoms go on to have problems persisting for months or years, such as headaches, dizziness, or difficulties with memory or attention. That's sometimes called brain fog. Doctors have no way to predict who will suffer lasting... Isn't that nice? A lottery of lasting brain injury... A vexing enough question that there's medical debate over whether to retire the term mild TBI. Yeah, I don't think there's a mild traumatic brain injury. I don't think that exists. A mild TBI. Repeated blows are known to increase the chances of lasting problems, including a degenerative brain disease called chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE. Now, that's real UFC boxing stuff there. CTE Olympics. It has gained attention for links to deaths in the NFL and other sports. No deaths in the UFC. It's imperative that people recover from a concussion before doing activities, blah, blah, blah. We put them back into service. We put them in another base. And like I said, none of these bases can be defended. So what are we even doing? I want to go ahead and go to clip 18. I want to show people what exactly GOP thinks about this.
Senator, the war in Iran is unpopular, and we still have $4 gas. How do we get around that for the midterm elections?
Well, good to be with you, Stuart. I mean, I think the big picture here is we need to go out and continually talk to people about the progress we've made on the economy. The truth of the matter is wages are up. The truth of the matter is that business investment's up. In Pennsylvania, we have tens of thousands of new jobs because of the president's policies. These are great jobs for welders, pipe fitters, steam fitters. We've got in the big, beautiful bill, the Working Families Tax Cut Act, a child care tax credit, no tax on tips. People are taking advantage of that. So there is no doubt that they are economically much better off than they were under President Biden. At the same time, they're still feeling the pressure. And as you said, gas prices are up. Healthcare is too expensive. Energy prices are still up. We need to do a lot more on permitting reform. So I think the way to talk about this is here's where we are. We've made enormous progress, but here's the pathway ahead and why we need to have Republican majorities in the House and the Senate to get more good things done for the American people.
Not a thing about ending the war. Not a thing about the TBIs and the nearly 700 U.S. service members that AP News is reporting most have experienced traumatic brain injuries, and they're calling them mild TBI, mild trauma. You know, it's not a big deal, just a little bit of brain damage. It's healthy. It makes you tougher. You fight in Israel's wars better if you have more brain damage. So we're going to send you off to another base that can't be defended. Now I want to show Greenblatt, all right? I want to show Greenblatt, who's very happy about the overall situation. Go to clip 19.
Look, you worked for Obama, you worked for Clinton in the economics part, but what have you made of Trump's approach on Iran? Like, is this something that you're thinking, good on him for being the president that stood up to the Iranian regime, or has America got itself into another forever war here?
Look, there is a forever war going on that was started by Iran. The Islamic Revolution, since 1979, Iranian school children and Iranian leaders have said every day, death to America. We don't say death to Iran. They declared war against us in 1979. They took our people hostage. They murdered in Tehran. They murdered our Marines in Beirut.
I've been good about pausing today. We're going to go ahead and pause it. We don't say death to Iran. We didn't blow up their elementary school in the middle of negotiations. We didn't kill the Ayatollah in the middle of negotiations. We attacked. We started the war twice. All right. Israel started 12-day war, right? But we went in with joint strikes. February 28th, they covered it live at like 2 a.m. in the morning. So, just keep playing him, man. Keep playing him.
Heard our people in the Khobar bombings in sub-Saharan Africa. They have murdered, by the way, Jewish people all over the world as well. This is a rapacious, brutal, tyrannical regime that, again, has said very openly they want to destroy America, let alone they want to destroy the state of Israel. And they have wrought havoc all over the region. So to be really honest with you, James, like, I do really respect the fact that President Trump took action against a government that was committed publicly to destroying the United States and to destroying the state of Israel. He's the only one who did it. Now, there may be ways I might suggest he could have prosecuted this war a little bit differently. But look, I'm not a four-star general. I'm not. So I find it interesting all the armchair kind of generals telling him what he should or shouldn't have done. But the bottom line is that we shouldn't forget there is a forever war. It was declared against the United States. This is a radical, revolutionary Islamist regime that wants to spread Sharia law all over the Middle East and that wants to destroy the West. And, you know, they threaten Europe and the Europeans do nothing. They threaten America for years. We didn't do nearly enough. They threaten their own neighbors like Saudi Arabia. I'm glad that we've stood up to them. And I hope at the end of the day, for the sake not just of America or Israel, but for the sake of the Iranian people, that this brutal dictatorship falls.
So he calls it a war, right? He calls it a war. When did the war start? He says it started 47 years ago. That's not how wars work. All right. It started when we bombed the elementary school or when we did Midnight Hammer. That's when you have to make that calculation. That's when the U.S. got involved in kinetic operations against Iran. There it is right there. 165 girls and their teachers burned to death. That's a Holocaust. He's a Holocaust denier. He cries about that all day, whatever. He denies mass death by fire. That's what that is. It's done on behalf of Israel by the United States, right? And President Trump, about this attack that happened in Manab, he came out with Hegseth, I think it was on the Air Force One, and said, we think it was Iran. They're very imprecise with their munitions. We're running an investigation. Well, there is no investigation when you're president of the United States, and I think it was over 2 Tomahawk missiles get dropped on this school. Only 4 other countries have those. France, UK, Germany, and Japan. That's it. That's the number. So it would be impossible for them to like telepathically generate a missile over their own elementary school before or during the initial like few hours of the attack, right? Like day one, basically like within the first day, look up the date of the attack so we can get that right. Within the first day, this happens along with the killing of the Ayatollah. And keep in mind, he just said, oh, the war is amazing. War is great. War is awesome. We're defeating the regime, destroying, obliterate, whatever. We also are going to do color revolution, and they're going to put Reza Pahlavi in charge, and it's going to be an amazing kumbaya, and the Iranian people just need to be given the Second Amendment. This is what Lindsey Graham was saying when he was waddling around the earth before he died of his death, right? He was saying, they just need the Second Amendment option. But at the same time, they're radical cavemen lunatics, and we got to kill all of them. Because keep in mind, over 30 million people in Iran alone showed up for the Ayatollah's funeral. That's a third of the country. What they sold, the bill of goods in January, they did it. They did a failed color revolution. Look at that. The attack on the school in Iran, the elementary school, was February 28th, 2026. So that is literally the first hours of the attack is when that took place. Iran did not blow up one of our bases first. Iran did not attack Israel first. We attacked. What did Marco Rubio say? What did he say? Israel was going to attack. We feared American soldiers would die in the retaliation. So we had to join in, blah, 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 to minimize American casualties or whatever the end of the quote is. I'm paraphrasing there. We had to get involved. Because another power, a foreign nation, a foreign government took us to war. And we didn't get any choice on that. We didn't get any choice at all. And that's not fair. That's not fair to you. That's not fair to me. That's not fair to anybody that voted for the peace president. Look at this. Rubio suggests U.S. strikes on Iran were influenced by Israeli plans. The U.S. Secretary of State says he hopes Iranian people overthrow the regime. Can we see the quote in the article? And here's the thing. He likes to pretend, Rubio likes to pretend that he's not involved. He is involved. All right. And it's really smart politically to try to be off camera as much of this administration as possible because it is a dumpster fire. But it is a dumpster fire that is really leaps and bounds advancing the agenda of like the Zionist occupied government, military industrial complex, transnational capital, international billionaires, like all the elites, everyone that you can name. It's doing basically everything that they would want. Right. So like, where do we go from here? I think that if he tries to run in 2028, I think that will be exposed. We know that there was going to be Israeli action. Rubio said we knew that there would precipitate an attack against American forces. And we knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched these attacks, we would suffer higher casualties pre-crime and not even pre-crime. They knew that Israel was going to commit the crime. We knew that we would be hurt because we're their guardian in the region, big brother protecting them with all these bases that are around Iran. We had to do it. We had to win. It was a knockout blow, a knockout punch. We were going to win in 24, 48 hours. Remember all the people saying that? Crew, can we find some examples of people saying 24 to 48 hours? Famously, Dave Rubin, savant and the child slaver said that we wouldn't be able or that they wouldn't be able to close the strait. They would not be able to close the strait, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we don't have to worry about that. He was even like, I'm not some grand prediction guy, but I'm wise and I know this X, Y, Z. And it's just like, dude, that is completely ridiculous. They've been prepping for the war for 20 years. They fought a war against Saddam Hussein where we backed Saddam and we gave Saddam chemical weapons and they lost hundreds of thousands of their own people. They had little children with headbands. Message keys to heaven on their head walking through minefields. Like, go ahead and play this from the beginning. Let's see how this is aged. This is Dave Rubin. I'm liberal. I work for Diddy Wild. Here, play it with audio.
I need to make a prediction here in my prediction stuff. I'm not Polly Market. I'm not Kalshi, but I'm pretty good at predictions. And my prediction here is that everything that the media is now going to say about Iran's going to close the Strait of Hormuz and energy prices are going to go crazy and all these, none of this is going to come to pass. That isn't to say there won't be a little bumps here and there in the market. And it's not to say one random thing, you know, bad thing might happen to a ship or something like that. But Iran has basically, their military has basically been decimated. So they can keep doing PR stunts and having the second general of the fourth command of the third wing of the Iranian army show up on MSNBC. They can keep do that and make his threats and say, we're going to let things through if we like you and not if we don't. But it just is utterly irrelevant. We are the sheriff. Allow me.
We are the sheriff. Look at this elitist neocon bragging about how we killed their leadership. Oh, yeah, we killed the leadership, the 50, 60-year-old people that were around for the Iran-Iraq war. You know who the people we were trying to negotiate were? Those older group of people, the younger people, they really hate America. They really hate us, and they really hate it when we kill their leadership. So if we're killing their leadership and we've decimated their military and it's all basically over and they can't close the strait, how are we sitting here 100-plus days later where he's been proven totally wrong? And that's the whole entire attitude of our government as well. And they refuse to admit it. They still operate within a frame of mind where they're like, oh, we can just do this blockade. Well, if the Venezuela operation was costing over $1 billion a day, which I reported on it at the time, I believe that it was, or close to it, what is this costing? What does this cost the American people right now? 39 days of war, $113 billion. Show that article back up if you would. Trump says Iran war objectives nearing completion in address to nation. Yeah, exactly. So that's in April. Are you waking up yet? You smelling the roses yet? You see how this is a war? See how it's a war of choice? See how he did it? He lied about it. He lies about it to this day. He lies about it multiple times a day. You can pay him $100,000 a month and get notifications, updates before everyone else does about how he's lying about it to manipulate the market. Or he could just do business with his family and make billions of dollars. 159 days, 16 hours, 49 minutes, 47 seconds, 47th president. Potato president. Really, not good. Believe me, not good. I believe that's a Trump quote from back in the day. Let's go ahead and go to clip number 12 really quick.
What makes you think this will be different? Because they tend to never...
It may be, it may not be. I think that the threat of this... this was more than a threat. We were ready to go. And, you know, in life, they know when you're ready to go and when you're just bluffing. Now, we were ready to go. And we are ready to go. We have to do this.
Pretty crazy America's got to talk like that now, right? Pretty crazy we got to do the pufferfish strategy like that, right? Because there was a time, not even 35, 30 years ago, we did have a military that would have been capable of doing an operation kind of like this. Would have had to do ground troops like we did in Iraq, but, you know, maybe feasibly they could have done it. Even if they put everybody in service involved in this war right now, they would still need a draft and boots on the ground to do it. They don't have the munitions. They don't have the equipment. And the United States military policy is that it has to be able to fight two major conflicts and a regional conflict all at the same time. We have definitely dropped below that level. And there's going to come a time where Russia comes knocking, where China comes knocking, and because of the expense that we put ourselves in this war for foreign power, we're not going to have the ability to protect ourselves. And to people that think that's not a reality, people think that, well, you know, just because the world order has been what it's been for the past century, you know, it's not about to change now. I think we're all very normalcy biased. I think hell is coming. Trump says new talks are Iran's last chance to make deal before decapitation. Well, they already did the decapitation. It's like a hydra. It doesn't work. It's a stupid analogy. President Trump, go ahead. Keep that up there. President Trump said his decision not to escalate the war in Iran over the weekend was Iran's last chance to make a deal. He also said he called off attacks because Gulf allies asked him to. MBS called him. Of course, threatening new strikes and then calling them off is something he's done many times. The Taco attack, of course. Yeah. So it didn't work the first time. It's not going to work the 100th time. And you actually don't have the ability to take out their equipment, their facilities like you did, because in the original period of the 39-day war, you couldn't get it done. So if you can't get it done, then you can't really get it done now. And when you take people domestically at home with the reality of the midterms coming up and you tell them, played that Dave McCormick guy, just he went on a complete ChatGPT Claude generated Fable 5 ChatGPT rant about, oh, what's the economy? Got to focus on the economy. New Republicans do amazing things on the economy, the economy, the economy. Here's the thing. You can have a primary and you can destroy the America First patriotic candidate and put the neocon in and have this big party about how you're the strong liberal or whatever, which is what all these people represent. They're really liberals. They're minos, MAGA in name only. But when you run against the Democrat and this same talk about the economy, you can't drown them out on that the same way you can drown somebody out on your own side and they'll bring up the war. They'll bring up the coffins. When you're confronted with that in the general election, the independent voter is going to turn on you. That is, I see it as just a very simple political reality, political fact. And then when these people lose in the midterms, they will turn around and B-word and moan and blame us. And we will say, it is not us that violated our promise. It was you. You did the opposite of what we voted for. And that's a big problem to us. And if you ever want us to vote Republican again, you have to disavow genocide, disavow the war, disavow the spending, disavow the corruption, disavow the occupied government that we very clearly have. And they're not going to be willing to do that unless they're shown in the midterms that, you know, it's not all peaches and creamville, because it's not. And just like I was talking about with Jose, $20 burrito, you don't need to eat that. Just live in the four person to one apartment situation and you'll be fine. I'm Dan Crenshaw. That's what I did. In a time where there was advancement, in a time where you could start a business and not worry about World War III, in a time where, you know, the social safety net and everything hadn't been completely eroded in America and we still had more of a homogenous society, it's just so privileged to look at what we have now, like as him saying he has privilege, looking at what we have now and saying, oh, well, the younger generation just has to figure it out. Think about just the oasis, the paradise of going to Taco Bell and buying something for like $2 that could feed an entire family. And think about the reality now. There is no convenience. There is no cheap rent. There is no cheap electricity. You pay everything on a meter. Oh, cable went away. Cable went away. You got streaming services now. They gouge you at every step. They get you to gamble. They get you to watch porn. They get you to distract yourself. They get you to eat bad food, get you to eat the poison, the goy slop, you name it. And they turn around and say, oh, but it was you that made these decisions. It was you that decided to eat the goy slop and engage in this behavior. You fed us poison. You filled our environment with it from day one. We were children. We never had a chance. And the people that were older and the people that knew about it and the people that tolerated it, this is why I talk about the younger generation. We are very, very upset about this. We want to find a solution. The people that say the problem's always going to be the problem existed in a time where the problem was not a problem for them at all. And they didn't have to think about it. Everyone is aware of politics now. Everyone is aware of the war now. Everyone is aware of Epstein now. Everyone is aware of the corruption all around them, and in a world with the cell phone where everybody is present on social media and sees the war crimes, sees the spending, sees the contradictions over and over and over again. Again, I raise you the peace president. In that world, you know, a few Lego videos and a few ballistic missiles and drones, they can topple a global hegemon. And especially if the global hegemon decides that it just doesn't care about being a hegemon anymore, just wants to make money. We have traded our power for money. Our elites have done that to us. And we have no money anyway because the money was always fake. That's the emperor's new clothes. That's the deal that was given to America. But I'm Rex Jones News, Rex Jones News with a Z. You can find me. I do a daily morning show, New American Journal, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. every single day, live for 4 hours. We play a documentary as well. I need to take a tiny little bit of a long weekend, but I'll be right back on Tuesday for you guys. New American Journal. Go follow that on Rumble right now, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. I am live every day. Multiple hosts. On Tuesday, we do Gray Area Talks, ex-New American Journal, which means Tim joins me. Tim Tompkins hosts the Gray Area with me, my co-host, on Thursday and Sunday, 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. Usually that's how we do it. Sunday we have a marquee show, always have phenomenal guests for you. And that's really, it's been so awesome on this network to really learn how to book people, learn how to schedule people, and learn how to really, you know, do the network TV thing. I'm trying to do that on my own, an internet talk show, radio talk show on TV. So happy to do it for you guys. Just find me, Gray Area Talks, YouTube, Rumble, and then New American Journal on Rumble, on X, on Instagram. I got a link tree in my profile. Also got the link tree right there. And if you want to, I got 50% off.com. I have Knockout Sleep Support and I have Brain Force. 50% off.com. If you want to get some cool stuff, I got it there. I'll see y'all tomorrow.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you, Meta, Facebook is watching you, Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.